Okay. Well then. All right. Hey everybody. What up?
What happened? Why is Twitter blowing up?
Why are you bothering me while I'm on my phone looking at my furry pornography?
Are you not?
Plague's Twitter.
We're hot.
We're hot?
We're live right now.
So I shouldn't be watching my furry pornography on Plague's Twitter?
Oh my god.
All right, let's go to the screen. Oh, hey.
All right.
That's hilarious.
Like, I just... What? Oh, man. All right. How to begin here?
This is brand new. People sent us this like 2 minutes ago.
Councilman resigns after secret furry life revealed. Oh, no.
It's a picture of like a 70-year-old guy.
Oh, no.
You know what I like about that?
What happened?
You know what I like about that?
Uh-huh.
That guy. So whenever we talk about furryism, we always talk about how...
Ism. It's an ism now.
Well, sure, whatever. Furry fandom or whatever. It's always under the assumption that people watched Robin Hood as kids, people watched Animaniacs as kids, people, you know, yada, 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 right?
Yep.
This guy would have been like 40 when...
That was going down.
So he's just like, yeah, you know what? Yeah.
A Connecticut councilman is resigning after his profile on a website catering to furries appeared on social media. But the outgoing first-term Democrat insists his animal costume fetish has nothing to do with sex.
I think this sucks. I think that the fact that he felt like he needed to resign is the worst.
Because
what I want is him to go to the meetings or whatever and just be like, fuck it.
Are we kink shaming over in Washington now?
Full blown.
Is that what's going on?
With the tie at the thing. Is there a dress code for those things?
Oh, there could be. Okay. A collar and tie absolutely would fit on top of a furry suit.
I bet you super can get a suit made.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you go to a Big and Tall store.
Oh, yeah. Bursting at the seams where you got the little, like, shoulders with the, like, the fur patches sticking out.
Yeah, you have
out.
The drawn-on biceps.
Oh, I love it. Like,
coming
like,
out the
so,
thing.
So there's a saber wolf costume in KI where he's got, like, the suit on.
But the suit's exploding.
It's exploding off of him.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh my goodness.
Because if that guy starts that trend, then you get the scenario of everyone's coming to work dressed as their secret fetish.
I mean, look, it's like this thing has happened how many times where, turns out super Republican congressman is way into some kinky shit,
and it comes
out and explodes in this way that blows up his career.
Or some guy over in Rhode Island's been cheating on his wife for 30 years with a billion hookers.
Exactly,
like,
you know, and it's just like, oh, man, like, that's always just one of the worst stories. You know, you hate to see it happen, but
this one...
This is so... It's so out of his time.
I think this one's fun, but it's also sad because I don't like that he resigned.
I think that... It is sad that he resigned.
Because I want to see him field questions.
Yes! And he could absolutely have been a spokesperson.
I want to see him...
On behalf of the furry community. He could have been that guy. You could have been that guy, man. Oh, Scott Chamberlain.
Has nothing to do with sex.
That's not what yiffing sounds like.
I don't know what the fuck yiffing sounds like. Do you?
It sounds like the word yiff.
Is that really?
Isn't that where it comes from? It comes from the sound effect.
I thought that was the sound that foxes made.
When they have sex.
Oh, but then, what's the...
I always assumed yiff was an onomatopoeia.
Okay.
You understand?
Okay.
I assumed it was kind of like yiff as a sound effect for the sounds of fox mating.
Not splorch? Or what have you?
I don't know. What kind of junk do foxes have?
It's
the animal junk, right?
Well, I've seen that they have huge cocks.
But it's like that weird bump, and then suddenly it's like the lipstick thing, right? It's just like, right? Like Discovery Channel shit. So I assume...
From the literature that I've seen, they appear to have like 10-inch like human dicks.
Okay, so it's not like that crazy
and
duck shit.
And massive balls.
There's no weird like evolutionary like horrible shapes and sizes for the mating procedures of
foxes. No, I'm talking
foxes.
About the literature that I was looking at.
Ah, I see. Okay, well, that's a different website, sir.
Yeah. No, it's just Plague's Twitter.
Oh, boy. Oh, no. You hate to see it happen. As public servants, we're held to a higher standard. Mr. Chamberlain's apparent posts do not meet that standard. Oh. The worst part is your opponents now get to, like, act all high and mighty and just be like, I'm not a furry.
Yeah, but they probably have
That's your platform.
They probably have, like, a sex dungeon.
Your platform of your opponent gets to officially be yiff in hell. What the fuck?
The platform is, what's up with these kids walking around with the fucking raccoon tails out of their backpacks? The fuck's up with that shit?
Oh, boy.
I remember walking down the street near my house, like, 3 years ago with Matt, and there was a lady walking down the street with a raccoon tail coming out of her fucking backpack.
Sure, yeah, we've seen those.
And I look over at Matt and go, what's the deal with that? And he goes, I don't know. Why the fuck do you think I know?
Okay, no, the raccoon tail's different.
Is it?
Yeah, for sure. Because the raccoon tail is something that a bunch of friends, like particularly Asian friends in college, would rock hanging from their belts as a fashion thing.
Okay.
And it was just a fashion thing for a while.
It's not a creepy sex thing.
No.
It's not like a fucking it's not like a anklet that says, I'm down for this.
I think it's more or like an Ace of Spades tattoo.
I don't know what that is.
That means you're down for something.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tattoo.
Yeah.
Dedication
to your cause.
Okay.
Yep.
But you can take the fucking thing out of your backpack.
No, that's it. The raccoon tail, it's closer to like that Daniel Boone hat and all that Remember the Alamo shit.
Okay, yeah. I see that. Are those timelines even close to each other?
I assume not. I don't know. I don't know. We're Canadian, man. What the fuck do we know? Anyway, the point is,
do we even have good legends?
We've got Wendigos and legends. You mean like real things?
No, because was Paul Bunyan a real guy?
Okay.
Was Johnny Appleseed a real guy?
I mean, those are American heroes, right? Canadians, we've got Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah, Wayne Gretzky did a hockey real good.
We got GSP.
He did a beatdown real good. And was very handsome doing it.
Yeah, you know, we got some heroes. That's
the only
fun.
Reason you thought of GSP is because Joe Rogan just sucks his dick all the time.
No. That's what? Not why I thought of GSP.
Really?
I thought of GSP because he was at DreamHack Montreal this weekend.
Oh, he was at DreamHack?
And he was there fighting Justin Wong at Street Fighter V.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
GSP's a fighting game player now?
No, but he entered to just do a special exhibition thing, and they had him walking around DreamHack, and he was there. That's why I thought of him, because he was there yesterday.
Is he still bald?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, Wooly, how's DreamHack?
DreamHack was really cool. I guess we just move on.
I just scroll down my Twitter and see you on a fucking stage.
Yeah, I'm not much else to say about Chamberlain here, Councilman Chamberlain, but it is sad that you did not own it. You had an opportunity. You had one shot.
Get a little fox pin.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, do not miss your chance to yiff. This opportunity comes once in a lifetime, and you lost it. You stepped down when you should have stepped up. That's what I say. Am I wrong?
You're not wrong.
Damn straight.
Oh, man. I remember being like 15 and being like, this furry stuff is weird. It's probably going to go away when I'm older. And like, no, it's only gotten stronger.
Oh, boy.
It's like that Daft Punk song.
Yeah. Oh, I should probably clarify that GSP is not DSP.
No, it's Georges St. Pierre.
The UFC former champion fighter. Awesome guy from Montreal. Or just Quebec, actually.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's specifically from the island of Montreal.
I know Kevin Owens is from town, but I don't know if GSP is.
So now on to our weeks, I suppose. Before I went to DreamHack, there's a couple other things going down. I got to sit down and put some time into Absolver.
Yeah, I also played a little bit of Absolver.
Cool.
What do you think of it?
I like it, but I enjoy it. It's very similar to, you know, the demo I played. The one thing about it is that it was I was hoping for like more single player content to be available around the world.
It kicks you into multiplayer right quick.
Yeah. Now I know. So by the way, Matt's still away in LA hanging out with Maximilian.
Mm-hmm.
But Absolver is right now. It's pretty much what, you know, it was advertised to be, which is a online large you know, persistent world.
Roaming fight game.
Yeah.
Thing.
And other you're playing always online with other people, and there's NPCs around the map, and there's, you know, enemies to fight and learn moves off of. And some of them have specific styles so that you want to go fight them and like pick up and learn how to counter these moves and such. It's basically, if you would check out the video look we took at it, one of the most unique mechanics is how you learn moves in that game. It's the probably the most interesting thing about it.
How do you learn moves in that game?
Okay.
I didn't get that far.
So here's the whole deal, right? If you think about For Honor, right? You have third person, you have multiple directions to guard and to stand in as well, right? So each...
Yeah, it's somewhat similar.
Yeah. Now, For Honor, the move list doesn't change when you switch stances, but in this game, it does, right? So switching stances to your guard, or not into your guard, you can just hold your guard button.
Yeah.
But switching stances changes your move list according
to the
four
quadrants. So like the character that I picked, for example, when I went to the upper left quadrant, which is never actively selected unless you move to it, like my kick became like a guard break kick, for example.
Right. And so you have two buttons from each stance there. Exactly. And imagine if they took For Honor and more like Fur Honor.
That's terrible. That's a mod or a DLC.
It could have been more. Councilman Chamberman, it could have been more.
You're just... Because you just keep looking back.
I have to close the story. I can't leave it up here. Otherwise, it's going to fucking... It's going to control the podcast. So... Anyway, no, the basic deal is that it is like, imagine you walk around this online world, right? Mm-hmm. And then you encounter these people. And now someone, you have a very limited move list, right? Mm-hmm. You have your, I don't know, let's say 15 moves that your character has.
Yeah.
You can level up and fight and beat dudes up, and you'll be able to spec into different stats and such.
Very similar to a Souls game. Like,
yeah.
It even
smaller amount
you,
of choices.
Yeah, smaller amount of choices and less focus overall. But like when I saw the level up screen, I was like, ooh.
Yeah. So imagine if you would that you can do that, and then that's how you get stronger and better and faster, and you can evade more and such. But you don't actually learn more moves. When someone fights you and they do something you've never seen before, it enters your move list as a question mark.
Okay.
And it just sits there as like a what the fuck was that, right? And then the more you fight people that have it and use it against you, a little bar starts to increase.
Oh, that's good.
Right?
That's real
good. Now, here's the thing about the game. When you use your defensive special, right? So that is either your parry, your focus attack, or your dodge, and you successfully completely negate or avoid that specific move, the experience bar shoots the fuck up.
Okay.
Right? So a couple of...
Because it shows that you actually understand it.
You've seen the move, you recognize it, and you know how to stop it. And so it fills up, right? And so that's how you learn, and now you can use this move.
That's a great goddamn idea.
If you see the move and you counter it in the middle of the fight and it fills up, it'll be ready to be unlocked. But if you die or run away, you do not get the move.
Okay.
So everything you learn in a fight is only committed to experience on
contingent
victory.
Contingent on winning. Okay. That's awesome.
It's fucking good.
That's legit awesome.
That's a super cool smart mechanic. Yeah. And so what we got now is you wandering the world and you come across one of these guardians or one of these bosses and such. And the main thing is you can refight a lot of these people. In some cases, there's like level twos and level threes. There's other NPCs that are just kind of roaming guys. And they have special names and introductions when you fight them. They have fully unique styles and move lists.
Okay.
Where you can come in and just learn from them. So if you want to be a drunken master, go fight the drunken master
guy. Okay.
And get what you can off of him until you get the moves you want. And then to sort of bring this all together, the component that they have is schools, where somebody who's learned a style or has a specific moveset that works really well together, since you can actually customize your attacks and your strings, you can
Yeah, it's
then,
a very God hand system.
All right. Remember me even.
Oh, yeah.
You're right. So then you can go and have a lot of people sit in an area and you can go, you guys are now clans of my school. I'm going to teach you how to do these moves. And you walk up to each of them and you spar and you show them the move until they parry or counter or dodge.
Oh, so you actually have to
and
train
people.
And
you give them the move via training.
This is... So I did not get that far, but this is pretty awesome.
That's the thing, right? So that shit is so well thought out and really, really interesting.
And then other people who will get their really, really good moveset will never teach nobody.
Because fuck you, I got my moves.
Yeah.
You know?
And then they become that guy in the fucking Ip Man story.
One awesome thing about every encounter is that you can definitely sit down and call for 1v1s or, you know, group battles and such by sitting down at a bonfire and like going, I want to match up with somebody, matchmake me. And they'll put you into a dedicated PvP environment to fight. In an instance. But when you see someone in the world just running around, you can go and help them. And generally the flow of business has been run into a person getting ambushed, even the fight, right? So someone is getting 3v1'd. You go in and you 2v3 them together. You take them all out. You get the pickups they drop.
Yeah.
Then you turn and fight each other.
So it's double dragon all the time.
But here's the cool thing. You fight each other. And whoever loses, when you get downed, you enter that state of like hold the button to respawn or just stay down. And the person who beats you picks you back
up. Oh, that's nice.
And you're like, awesome.
Is that how the general like
attitude has been?
Etiquette has shaken out?
I've only encountered one person who has not picked me up.
Oh.
Right. So there's one jerk who just ran off.
And you thought, what a dick.
Yeah. But everyone else has beaten or I've beaten them. And you pick each other back up and you're like, good stuff, continue on your way, you know, so be it. And like you might even have seen a move or two off of that guy.
See, I wish I had gotten to see most of that because when I played it like, oh God, like an hour after it came out.
Okay.
And when I did that, I had some relatively crippling latency issues because the game's online only. And like I was running into that thing where I couldn't connect to the server during a loading screen. So just hung for 20 minutes.
Okay.
So when did you play it?
I played it last week, towards the end of the week. So
like Friday, Saturday?
Well, it came out while I was in the Netherlands.
Right.
So I didn't have a chance at it on day one or two or three. So
did you PvP'd other people?
I PvP'd.
How was the latency?
I didn't have problems.
Okay, so back in I go.
I didn't have problems. And I wasn't even... No, that's not true. I was wired up. Yeah. But no, anyway.
Yeah, man, okay, so I spoke to Clemson about this because he's an idiot.
Uh-huh.
And, there's people that don't know this. Your wireless internet is not as reliable as a cord.
Yeah, shit. You should plug in your
Ethernet. Plug your Ethernet in. I know it's annoying, but the difference in reliability and speed is astonishing.
Yeah. Do it. And if you have like a router managing software that lets you prioritize the system that you're plugging it into, do that too.
That's what Max uses, right?
I don't know if Max uses it, but I definitely have that set up over at home now that I've got a whole Linksys signal boosters, right? So we've got like a bunch of things around my place that are like doubling the signal strength. But the source signal, like you can just go anything wired from here is the priority.
Yeah. Oh, that's not what because I remember Max did a breakdown of this fucking thing he uses, and it's a, you know how in most games you'd be able to like, I don't want to fight people from over a certain distance away or whatever.
Yeah.
He has a goddamn internet box that does that from like the source setting.
Nice. Okay.
And cuts off connections over a certain thing and with certain amounts of packet loss and stuff like that. And that's how he's able to get decent matches on games with terrible netcode.
Yeah, well, the problem is if you want to go play Guilty Gear Xrd and you're playing online and you're looking to have a match against anybody, you're going to, like, half your matches have to be against Japanese players. So that's a situation where...
wonderful.
Yeah, you know, you're kind of stuck.
I still remember buying...
NetDuma is what that thing is called from the source level. Yeah.
I remember buying Anarchy Reigns or Max Anarchy because it was a Japanese copy and playing on PS3, and it's like every single game is against all Japanese players because I'm the only fucking person who
plays this game. There's no way to defeat that. That's just, you know, you picked the wrong game, fucker. but anyway, no, so the thing with Absolver is it's got all that really interesting shit beneath the surface right there. And on the surface, you just run around and you go, I'm just going to be in a beat-em-up world. And you don't really get all of that necessarily right away. You do have to actually go read the tutorials a little bit, mess around and see what's going on, and spend more than like a little time with it. And the other thing is that those mechanics, as awesome as they are and as much as I love them, that's really all there is right now.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
It's quite limited.
So
the game is built up in a pretty smart way for what appears to be limited resources, which is a little bit of overworld, a little bit of overworld, teach you. It's like it's all tutorializing you for the PvP.
Yes. And it's a very clear situation here. It's interesting because I can make a direct comparison to Breath of the Wild. If this were a map like Breath of the Wild, it would have been the perfect game. Because I would have...
I know. Ask,
but of course it is. It's unrealistic to state.
But I know why you say it, because you get that first vista shot of this giant fucking tower way off in the wilderness when you start the game.
And then what happens?
And then you just teleport to it.
Yes. And we had that moment in the video where we went, oh, we got to walk there. Okay, let's get... And then, no, I'm here.
And it's like...
Right? Mm. So that's what it is that if you have a large world that's fairly empty, right, with no towns to go visit or nothing but like sort of broken down areas. And what's cool is you can see dedicated sort of like arenas and spots where you're like, oh, this is where a school should be.
Yeah.
You know? Like big open spaces. It just sucks that you're kind of like, yeah, but it's very tiny. It's very linear and like, you're not linear, but it's like, each of the pathways, like you get to a large open area and then there's like Dark Souls, like branch hallway to the next open area. And you really would have like wanted to have this large Breath of the Wild type of, you know, go out there, find some shit. And like just walking around the environment is interesting in itself and whatnot. But, because right now it's just running from area to area, it feels as like it's just not as engaging as it could be based on the world design, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And there's not a lot of other content besides that, but the fight mechanics are super fun.
I hope they add more to that game. Yeah. I hope it's not just, this is a weird thing to say, but I hope it's not just a fighting game.
I hope so too. And I feel that like every time you fight something or someone, and like you kind of go like, oh man, like didn't get anything out of that or whatever. So I had a moment where I was fighting someone hard and I was like, yeah, this person's like not that great or whatever. And then like I evade a couple moves and then it says in this fight, like Tetsuzanko unlocked.
Oh man.
But you have to win to get it. And suddenly my eyes burn I'm like, I have to win this fight now.
I want the Tetsuzanko.
You
so
need
bad.
It. You need it because you see the stakes of what you can lose, you know, and that moment is really great as well. So yeah, man, Absolver is absolutely really fun and worth it if you're like me.
Yeah.
And into,
I can see
this PvP life.
Huge amount of people picking it up and getting into it and then beating the single player content, as it were, and being like, what?
It's a super conditional recommend here in the sense that like getting into the PvP, getting into these mechanics and like learning how to dodge and move and like customize your move list has to be interesting to you. Mm-hmm. If it's not, this is not the game for you. You know, look elsewhere. That's all I can say. For Honor has a story mode and, you know, these 4v4 modes and stuff that you can kind of like distract yourself with. This is the pure duel and battle world, as we called it.
So, and it's one of those things. It's like, I mentioned latency earlier, but that was on the dev side, right? But if you're the kind of person who has like shit latency, like just overall, like a game like this is not for you. Like almost any multiplayer game online is not for you.
Yeah.
And that sucks.
No, it definitely, like, this is an interesting situation where, like, it would benefit from having slightly more casual elements in a way, I suppose. But beyond that,
You're saying this is the online multiplayer world version of Street Fighter V?
Hard edge, brah. Don't even get started if you don't fucking come to play. Money match every battle, all day, every day. No, I actually...
Are you trying to money match me right now?
I've seen enough money matches this weekend.
Okay, I imagine.
I watched Ozark. I started that out. I'll have more to say.
Oh, yeah, Matt's recommend. What did you think of it?
I mean, yeah, so far, first episode, really good. It looks like Bateman's doing his own version of Breaking Bad. So, I'm a comedy actor doing a serious role about...
Serious-ass role.
Yeah.
Just like Malcolm in the Middle dad.
There
fucking
you go.
Shit. I can't.
Cranston.
I always think he's like cranberry juice, man.
Why?
Because Cran. That's it. That's the entire thought.
That basic, huh?
It's that basic.
Yeah. Fair enough. It's kind of like how, people say, like, John Gordon-Levitt when you want to say Joseph Gordon-Levitt, or like, that was the one from last week.
Isn't his name actually Joseph Gordon-Levitt?
It's Joseph, exactly. And last week, you guys kept saying, the voice actor for Travis Touchdown.
Yeah, it's Robert Atkin Downs.
Robin Atkin Downs. Yeah. All right. So anyway.
Who the fuck am I thinking of? Robert Atkin Downs.
Maybe you're thinking of Mr. Bean?
No. Rowan Atkinson? No.
Rowan Atkinson?
Is there a goddamn fucking nature documentary guy that I'm thinking of? It's that guy, the old guy.
David Suzuki?
No, the other guy.
David Attenborough?
That would be it, but that doesn't mix at all. Okay, the ability to run away from my own mispronunciation is fucking lost, so let's just move on.
Okay. Well, anyway, that's fine. We're moving on, and DreamHack Montreal happened. It happened this weekend, and...
Did you win?
Yeah, I won.
Oh, that's great, dude. Cool. I'm really happy for you. You finally won a major.
Thank you. It was a really cool event that, they come around every year. This time around, the fighting game side of it was Smash Brothers 4, Melee, and Street Fighter 5. Mm-hmm. I wish they had other games, because it would help so much with the numbers. And because, like, you have to understand something about the FGC.
Wait, only those three games?
Only those three fighting games.
And two of them are Smash?
Yeah.
That's pretty limited.
Yeah. And other DreamHacks have had Injustice. Other DreamHacks have had, Tekken and other games.
Why so few games this year?
I don't know. But it was the same last year as well. It seems like they're kind of really just dedicated to, this limited thing. And it's just so odd because, even if there's no major prize pool for the other games, having those numbers means...
Still brings in a...
Brings in people that focus on that thing but go, yeah, sure, I'll enter the other thing. Why not? It's right there. And you
need
sort of
warm bodies for the slaughter.
And you get this... So it was very weird in how precise and particular they were with the game choice. And to some degree, that affected some of the attendance numbers. But... It's a giant LAN, obviously. Mm-hmm. It's got the fucking Rocket League going crazy. Yeah. It's got, CSGO and all that crazy shit. Mm-hmm. So, the mass majority of people are there for their PCs and whatnot. But the Street Fighter section was no slouch because this was a Capcom Premier Tournament event.
Ooh.
And this was...
So with your win, you get like a seed point for the thing.
Yeah, there you go. Absolutely. I might even be able to design a costume.
Ooh.
If I do, I'll design a Cali and put a reboot belt on him.
Is that allowed?
It's already in the game.
Really?
Kazunoko did it. It's the best. Kazunoko won the fucking Capcom Cup. He made an Akali costume where he looks like a cool samurai guy, and he put a reboot belt on I'm dead serious, bro.
Man, that's lucky for you.
Fucking crazy. Anyway, the point is that they made a really cool stage, and I don't know if you saw it.
I did not.
The grand final stage at the DreamHack Montreal was a recreation.
Oh, you mean the physical stage? Yeah, I saw that.
Of Vega's fucking stage with the Vega's cage.
Yeah, it looks great.
Right, with the fence and everything. They had the barrels, the Bud Light thing behind them and whatnot. Like, they had the lighting going. It was awesome.
Yeah, no, me and Paige were looking at our Twitters, and we scroll down. And we're like, why did Wooly Photoshop himself into fucking Vegas Cage? Yeah. You have that photo of you like with your arm like doing
Jesus.
And it looks like you've been shopped in because of the lighting.
It's so cool. So so here's the thing is they've put spotlights on the ground to mimic the lighting of the stage, and the actual floor is the texture from the game printed out across the ground. It's fucking cool, man. And I feel as if, we've seen lots of other majors with really cool setups. Red Bull, Kumite has the nice, like, octagon feel and stuff. Mm-hmm. But this fucking thing of, like, a cosplay wonderland is, like, we need more of that.
It's kind of, not kneecapped, but there's a little dent in it when you look closely behind you in that photo is, like, two guys sitting at a TV.
Yeah.
And it's like...
I mean, I was gonna wait to go back when it was empty, but I was like, ah, fuck it.
No, not for your photo, but like for the whole set. Like, it's this massive, glamorous, cool
chandelier
thing.
Hanging above, man.
I mean, it's not like it's like the Melty Blood guys wandered in. Oh man, those photos of people
hanging out in the background,
the most ghetto fucking like tournament setup.
It's like, oh,
in the shower.
There's Blaze Blue set up in the bathroom at the anime suite. But wait, that means, oh God, where's Melty Blood? And they're just in the shower, fucking with the door, with the glass door and everything. Ugh. Anyway,
Can we get a tournament inside a real dumpster?
I mean, now that you've asked for it, I guarantee you there's TOs out there working on it.
Oh, man.
Because, you know, you better believe that at this event, there was, like, anime dudes were hanging out.
You look shocked, man. It's crazy.
That's just how well lit it was.
Yeah.
But there's anime dudes hanging out with their laptops. Mm-hmm. And, like, when the tournament was on its downtime, you better fucking believe some Akatsuki Blitzkampf came out.
I'm
standing there and I was like,
I got some Akatsuki Blitzkamp in my bag.
Ah, let's play.
you want to go out back and get blitzed?
Oh man, yeah. And we fucking played some poverty shit on the down low. It was a really cool tournament though. This is the first time ever that we've had Japanese players come up to Montreal.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Hey,
we've had Americans come before. And
well, yeah, that's easy.
That's been
right there.
Yep. But although this is the first time we've had Jay Wong and F Champ, mm-hmm, and Knuckle Do and like just the you know
upper echelons.
Yeah, well, we've definitely like Dominion comes up a lot and mm-hmm. Nerd Josh comes up a lot and those guys used to, but no, this is the first time we had these guys come in, and then we had Nemo and John Takeuchi, mm-hmm, who were super fun to hang out with, and yeah, just all in all, you know, a good Street Fighter weekend. What can I say? I'm, you know, it definitely reinvigorated a little bit of passion to me to like
for five
to get in there and like start playing. Like Minot came out in the grand finals. It mm-hmm. was pretty hype. I got to do some commentary over some really good matches, and you know,
were you playing Minot or was it somebody else in the grand finals?
Justin Wong was playing Minot.
Okay, so you beat Justin Wong?
I beat Justin Wong.
That's crazy.
It's unbelievable.
That's
never
amazing.
Thought it would happen.
Hey, man.
Hey, all this time, all this hard
next
work.
Next stop, Daigo.
That's it.
Or Infiltration, possibly.
Well, PG Punk now, really. But
really?
Anyway.
I don't even know who the fuck that is.
That's the guy that got second place.
Damn.
Yeah.
Wait, I thought you won.
At Evo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's cool, man. These names come fast.
These names
come fast. It's, like, it's okay.
See, I'm used to the era, which was, I want to say 2005, where there was like 10 guys and they never changed because there were no new games.
Yeah.
It's like, who do I got to remember for each character? Okay, Pyro Lee plays Yun. Okay, Kuroda plays Q. All right. And that's Kokujin plays Dudley. Jay plays Makoto. And like, that's all I got to remember.
Well, I mean, some other shit went down as well, like Infiltration over at the Manila Cup won a tournament with Jury, which was crazy, because that's just not been happening.
Oh, is she not thought to be up there?
She's not what she used to be, for sure. Anyway, I don't want to get too far in depth on it, but I picked it back up again, and I'm spending more time with Ed. I really feel...
Oh, you're switching over to Ed?
I feel Ed right now, and...
Do you think...
I'm not saying it's a switch, because I'm kind of like, I look like I've... My pick.
Yeah.
I'm locked in to my design right now in the form of Nicali, but...
So let me ask you a question about Ed now that you've messed around with him more.
Yeah.
Do you think that the way his buttons work, like, helps or hurts him in any specific way?
Both.
Okay, so he does have pros and cons on it?
Yes.
Okay.
Pros being with no motion, with no, like, deliberately, of course, with no actual stick input required to do his special move, you can react instantly.
And also,
to anything.
It doesn't have that situation with top players where they can hear the fireball come out.
You can get silent button these days, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I know, but like with Ed, it's actually impossible.
Sure, or you see the buffer, but it doesn't matter. Like, again, so you can react instantly just by tapping, right? Mm-hmm. But they brought back the piano, the old, like, Blanka style, like, you got a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yay.
And when you piano, if you piano incorrectly to do the proper, like flicker, mm-hmm, you might accidentally press two punches at the same time and do a really unsafe Shoryuken type move.
Ah.
So you don't want to have that happen.
I see.
You know, so pluses, minuses, and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I just fucking love his hoodie costume.
Yeah, that's great.
Right. And I love his...
Should have been his default.
Yeah. And his story mode costume as well with the bison outfit, but like with the coat over his shoulders.
Yeah.
Is super dope too. So yeah, man, he's just a stylish fuck. I love it. Anyway, the Scream Lording archives are up on DreamHack Montreal if you want to go see my attempts at it.
How do you feel you did as a Scream Lord?
So it's interesting because in season one, I definitely had more in-game knowledge, and I feel that I was able to commentate a lot better over that. Season two, when I stopped playing as much, I didn't keep up to date on, like, you know, like the frame data changes, for example, right? So during a high-level matchup, you want to be able to commentate and say, like, oh, that button is being used to there because it's this safe.
Because it's safer. It's a frame change.
Exactly.
Whatever.
And you want to, exactly, and so on and so forth. But a lot of those things kind of escaped me. So I did, you know, have to kind of like do a little bit of research and such. But it avoided me from kind of being able to do a more technical commentary. Mm-hmm. So I kind of just resorted to play by play.
Oh, so did you, okay. Did you Vampiro?
In the sense of like just choking.
Hey man,
fuck
I don't
up.
Know about that.
Yeah,
I'm
no.
trying to enjoy the match.
No, no, I don't
That's
think
the
I did
worst
that.
Vampiro in
I don't think I did that. And I was paired up with some pretty good people that you know, we worked well together.
Wow, that was a big move.
It's because here's the big thing: because if you're doing play by play, you want to be paired up with someone that can then do the informative.
You want
the hype man,
you want
and
hype man
the smart
and
man
and a computer.
Yeah,
like
that's what you need. That's the pairing, you know. So that's kind of what I got. And I really was able to, you know, do what I thought was some decent commentary. From
I'm sure you did a great job.
I need more practice at it, of course, you know.
Well, you only do it like once every, once in a blue moon, really, whenever you go to a tournament.
Yeah. No, the biggest thing is when the new people tune in and they go, like...
Why Ski Sonic dye his hair?
Slash, who is this alt-colored Hell Pockets? You know, and usually it's a sort
of
like
more like Hell Pockets.
Oh, cool! We got black guy. Yo, we gonna get some Yipes type commentary? And it's like, why does he sound so white? Like that same old stupid tired shit. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's because this is how I fucking talk. What do you want? What do you want me to tell you? You know. You want me to pretend?
Yes.
You want me to do a little fucking dance and put? I'm not.
That's what people want.
I'm not going to do the bit. But the point is that like you start to see that pop up, and you're like, oh, the stream monsters never change. You know,
they're never going to change.
It is what
like,
it is.
Like, who do you think's going to change last?
Yeah.
Stream monsters for fighting games, or anyone in the MOBA community?
No one wins that bet. We're just gonna. I want.
World to end first.
But it's, you know, it's just that exhausting. So yeah, black is a state of mind. It's a way of talking. You know, that's what that is. Rah. Yeah, you know, as if I'm not fucking exhausted of that shit already. DreamHack was fun.
Mm-hmm.
Video games are fun. I enjoy video games. And
are you sure? Are you sure you don't actually just hate video games?
Oh, well, when you put it that way.
Yeah, think about it. Think about it.
When you put it that way.
Think about it. Hey, let me ask you ever have that moment where you're sitting there and you're having you're enjoying your video game, you have your drink in your hand and your feet up and everything, and, you know, quiet, you have all the house to yourself and mm-hmm. you drink, you know, everything's great and you're playing the video game and you're like, boy, I'm fucking wasting my life. And it just grips you.
No, not.
Yeah, me either. No, never.
No,
never had that. Never had a doubt ever.
Can't say so. Yeah. Anyway, I don't even. I'm still caught up on other shit. It's fine. Let's. What else did I do with my week? Besides scrolling past the screenshot of achievements from BlazBlue that say, so white. It's hilarious. It's a great moment. It's super funny, you guys.
All right, we'll cut it down. We'll cut it down.
It's fine. It's not fine.
Just
it's
be
fine.
Happy you're not George.
Hey, George. Hey, man. We talked behind the scenes. It's okay. We figured it out. But Bunny Hop. Bunny Hop's hot takes going to...
They're going
to
kill him one day.
They're going to kill him one day if they don't kill Mother's Basement first.
Oh, man. Oh, I saw that stuff. I had to put out my fist in solidarity with that man because he poked the bear and then controllers were thrown.
I just... Well, anyway, we'll see where that goes. But you know,
I saw Liam like trying to bridge the gap there between Jeff and the melee players.
Oh yeah,
it didn't seem to be taking.
No, I doubt it would. And same thing for George a little bit too. And God bless Liam's heart. You know, he tries.
He tried, but he really tried.
But yeah, no, I know. I briefly sat down for like 2 seconds. Not 2 seconds. We sat down for a little bit at Con Bravo with Jeff when he was starting to talk about the Smash is not a fighting game stuff. I was like, are you aware that we made a video again? This he's like, oh, yeah, I remember that and whatever. And we went back and forth a bit, and it wasn't really going anywhere.
No.
And I was like, okay, so I know how this is going to go down.
Let me walk you through how it's
going to go. This is going to go down publicly, explosively, in like public forum style BBS exchanges of videos back and forth when it goes down.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're fucking wrong. Listen, and there's just no other way around it.
I'm not saying Smash isn't a fighting game. I'm just saying it's a fighting game for crybabies and cheaters.
Like, I watched...
Sorry, Melee, not Smash.
I watched my boy Kage this weekend get second place with Ganon at Melee in a grand finals that was so sick, full of reads and option selects and just the most amazing tech, you know.
Who won?
None won.
Okay.
He's a Captain Falcon player.
So good thing one of the five players that always win every single match didn't show up.
That's not... That's
totally
not
poisoned the entire sport.
Well, look, this is a case of Kage being pretty much the best Ganon in the world.
Yeah.
And showing that off. Mm-hmm. And everyone loves the uphill battle because they're like, oh, fuck, he's doing it with Ganon. Mm-hmm. You know, it was really exciting. Anyway, yeah, whatever. That was my week. Move on. That was a weird, like, fucking, you know, the car just kind of rolled to a halt there.
It rolled to, like...
Like, the engine blocks, you know, fell off and the wheels...
Hey, you want to change the pace?
You can try.
Good, because I started watching Will and Grace, that rhyme.
Oh, yeah. I caught that. Yeah. So...
I had never seen it, ever.
So Paige made you sit and watch some Will and Grace, huh?
Well, she didn't make me. She asked me.
And then it turns out you liked it.
Yes, it's fucking great.
Cool, I've never watched it.
So, I did not know this, but that show came out way later. So, I thought it was like 94, 95. It's actually as late as 98 to 2006, which is fucked up because I had an existential moment because when I started watching it, the weirdest part about me is that like Will has Jason Alexander's exact accent, like that exact New York accent. So it's just like a tall, handsome George Costanza.
Okay.
And I'm like, wow, everyone looks so old and stupid in those clothes and the way that house is. And I'm like, when is... It's 98. That's... I remember... Like, 98 is fully within the bounds of my memory.
You were more than just alive then. You were a person.
I was established as a person.
You were set on your path.
I don't really have much to say about it other than it's fucking fantastic. And it's the bitchiest show I've ever seen. Reminds me of Archer.
Wow, really?
It reminds me of Archer.
That's great. No way.
It is.
Archer pushes it.
No, it's still on broadcast television. It's still like, you know.
No one's getting addicted to cocaine on Will and Grace.
No, that's Always Sunny. If you want to watch all, you want to see people get.
Now that's a comparison I would take.
But no, when I say it's, it reminds me of Archer, is that its formula is like for every plot sentence or episode pushing sentence, there is a snap. There's a like a little fuck you bitch witty comment, right? So Archer's formula is spy shit. Insult, insult, return.
Yeah.
Spy shit, insult, insult. Yeah. And this feels very similar to
Mega
that.
Mega burn somewhere
just,
in the
just
middle.
Just half of all lines of dialogue are people walking into rooms and just delivering sick burns.
Okay. Okay.
Like, that's it.
Yeah, all right.
And I love that so much. I love it so much.
So you more of a Will or more of a Grace?
So here's where it gets really sad. Here's where it gets really upsetting. So me and Paige are watching Will and Grace, right? Now, Grace is also a redhead. And Will is a controlling, like, OCD, everything needs to be perfect like jackass. And the more that I watch it, the more I start to become upset and upset and upset, because I'm watching a sitcom version of myself if I was tall, handsome, and gay and had a nice New York apartment. And like, so it's the same thing that happened to me when I watched Seinfeld or Curb Your Enthusiasm. It's one of these sitcom characters I'm identifying too strongly with. Very, like, remember when I watched Curb Your Enthusiasm? I'm like, yeah. I don't understand what the problem is. Larry's always right.
Larry's always right.
Sure. Why is everyone getting in his case?
Right.
And it's just like, so whenever like something or the character does something stupid, I'm like,
seeing too much Will.
Oh, it's too much. I can't.
Well, it's never too late to dream.
I'm never going to get tall.
You can move to New York.
I can do the rest. But I'm never going to get tall. That's great. I played a shit more of the XCOM expansion. It's fucking fantastic. It's great. It's absolutely great. Like, one of the, like, the only thing I have to say really is that I played some of the, so XCOM 2 had some really weird DLCs that came out, because they came out, like, because it's Firaxis, right? It's the same people who make Civ. And with Civ, a DLC comes out, and it's Australia, or Cambodia, or, not China, China's always in the base game, but you know what I mean, right?
Yeah.
It's just a Civ. Here, they did something kind of like that, where they were really small DLCs, and it was like, here's one mission and one gameplay mechanic, or here's super bosses that we added to the game. And I found that they were like, they're terrible. And the new expansion integrates them properly, so that like they're scaled down in appropriateness, and certain missions that don't work get taken out. But Shen's Last Gift, and not so much Shen, but Alien Rulers DLC is just the worst.
Can you save scum?
Yeah, you can save scum like fucking crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But like you were there during XCOM 2
was
LP.
I?
You were talking about jetpacks. So here's the problem with the Alien Rulers enemy, right? They have 30 health. So that's like 10 times as much health as the starting grunt. And the thing that makes them busted and infuriating to fight is they have a rule set called Ruler Reaction, where, so you know, well, you remember the flow, it's you, everybody takes their turn, shoots the aliens, the aliens take their turn, right? Once the ruler activates Ruler Reaction, every single action point used by any of your team gives them a turn. So shoot at them, they take a turn.
Wow, they take a turn. Okay.
Shoot at them twice, they take two turns.
Holy shit.
And then if you do like 30% or more of their health, they run away and show up on a different map. Like they're absolutely busted. They're no fun. And when you do manage to beat them, they unlock like completely end game broken armors and stuff.
Sounds like the winning side to me. Let's go Advent.
Hey, man, I used to be Seventh-day Adventist.
Oh,
let's get it in there.
So I turned most of that stuff off, and the expansion's just fantastic. The only problem that I heard from a friend of mine who's much further in the game than I am is once you kill all three Chosen, which are the Shadow of Mordor super bosses they added, the game just goes back to like how it used to. Like once you've killed them, almost all the new parts of the expansion just disappear. Because you fucking killed them. And then you go back to more of a base game. So people are hoping there's another one that adds stuff to the end game or elongates it or somehow. The only other thing... Oh, wait. I played Sonic Mania. Almost nothing to say. That game is perfect. That game is what I've been wanting for 23 years.
Did you see Eggman upside down?
I did.
Did you see
Eggette.
Did your brain interpret Eggman as Eggette?
No. But I saw it and went, oh, I've seen that everywhere. This is where that came from. Like, I can force myself to see it kind of thing.
Now, which do you see more, Eggette or Captain Video Games?
Eggette. Yeah. I'm not super familiar with Captain Video Games.
Captain Video Games was an old one. But, I mean, there's a visual. I think if I just put it in.
What if I look up Captain Video Games?
It was another way of interpreting, of seeing Eggman's face as like a weird Eggman inside of his like instead of his Sonic 2 boss orb. Okay, it's not going to work.
I can't even find it, man.
Yeah, it's not going to work. And I think it's possibly because I'm remembering the wrong name for it.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I'm sure someone will remember and correct, and you'll see it soon. But it was just like a weird face that they drew over Eggman inside of his ship, and mm-hmm. it looked like a guy with a big nose and a mustache, and it was mm-hmm. super weird.
Probably the most impressive thing about Sonic Mania is how it...
Captain Vidia, that's it. Not video, video games, Captain Vidia. So it was basically seeing an Eggman picture.
Like the whole mech is the face?
The whole thing becomes the face. It's a weird one, but yeah, you see like Eggman's ship, and then it opens up, and like Eggman's inside of it, and if you see...
That's stupid!
It's super dumb! It's super dumb, but it looks like a man looking up. It's so, like, this is pure visual, and it's terrible for the podcast, but if you Google Captain Vidya, as in Vidya Games, you'll see exactly what we're talking about.
That's really dumb.
Yeah, yeah, that's...
How do you see that?
I'm just saying, before Eggette, there was Captain Vidya. One of the dumbest.
Is that in one of those threads that people are like, I always saw, what's his name?
As a kid.
What the fuck is the character from Link to the Past? Agamemnon?
Yeah.
Something?
Yeah. Like, Aghanim.
Aghanim? Where, like, it looks like he's got, like, a weird, goofy, big lip face, but it's actually, like, he's wearing a hat. That's stupid.
It's the dumbest. It's so dumb. I love it.
But probably the best thing about Sonic Mania is how strongly it remixes things. It's so you'll see a boss and you'll go, that's the final boss from Sonic 1, or that's that boss from Sonic 2. And you fight them and they have their classic phase, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is like more or less accurate to the Genesis. And then their phase two is something wild and completely different that...
Like Sigma?
Kind of. But it's like... So, there was a boss at the end of Sonic 3, or Sonic 3 and Knuckles, rather, that it was just... It spun balls around it, and you would jump over the balls and hit it in the face. And then once you broke it out of its shell, it would spin blades around it, and you'd have to jump and shoot a laser underneath, so you had to pick the right time to jump, right? So, in Sonic Mania... The same boss, that first phase, is exactly there, exact same stage, exact same everything. And once it breaks out, you see that it's a completely different like form underneath, and that it starts moving the stage around to fuck with your jumps to make it impossible to hit.
Okay.
Like, it's great. And the final boss, well, the final boss that I got to, because I didn't go to all the emeralds, reminds me a lot of Wily, because it's a boss that you fight... And then it grabs you and throws you into... It teleports you into new arenas to fight mini-bosses.
Nice. Yeah, okay. Right.
And the goal is to survive instead of beat them. Because under Sonic rules, like, all that mini-boss has to do is get you down to zero rings. And
yeah.
Then there's no way you can beat the boss. It's fucking great. And the music is ace. Oh, the music's so good.
Of course. Well, I mean, that much has been, like, clear for... Like, yeah, again, you get Sonic fans to make a fucking Sonic game.
I come away from Sonic Mania, and Sonic Mania is also really long. It's really, really long.
Hmm.
It's like twice the length of all the other Sonic games, or more.
Well, then again, Shovel Knight is really long compared to Nintendo games.
Yeah.
So that's somewhat to be expected.
Sure, but what I mean is like I come off of that, and I'm like, this was made by a very small team of very dedicated Sonic modders, right? That got official permission. Like, this is like... The Sonic equivalent of, like, Street Fighter times Mega Man. Remember that?
Yeah, it's Street Fighter cross Mega Man. Yeah.
Like, it's that. It's a fan game. It is straight up a fan game. And it's probably the best classic Sonic the Hedgehog game. And all I can think of when I play it is, like, why did it take people that don't work at Sega 23 years to make this?
Because Sonic Team and bureaucracy and a rotating schedule dedicated to trying to appease new fans.
No, but
fans,
I mean, like,
people not getting it. Like, you know why.
No, I don't. Because I don't understand why they couldn't pull 10 people off a thing that actually... Like, I
because
always...
The
so,
hardest,
so when I play Generation...
The hardest thing in the world is for the people who know why thing is good the hardest thing in the world is for them to get word up to the people who make thing to understand that why a thing is good.
Because like when I play Generations, the people who made classic Sonic and Generations don't get it.
People who have the money that decide let's try to make thing because thing makes money with name. They don't understand anything about why thing is good, right?
Yeah.
And then a couple steps down from that is people who are directly involved in creation of assets that go into thing to try and make thing good. And they often sort of get it, or slash will have their own personal interpretation of what people liked about the thing. But in the end, they might miss it because they go, oh, what I liked about it was different from what everyone else liked. So I tried to make thing good, but I couldn't do it, right? So then it, you just and it gets worse and worse as you go down, because now you're like multiple degrees of separation away, where multiple failed attempts go by and multiple games are going off and they're not quite hitting it. But people at the top are like, well, but is thing good or not good? I don't know. What is money? Is money in? What is number? And then at the bottom, you're like, it's so obvious. It's so obvious why we love the thing. How are you missing
Everybody knows this, but the people making it.
But nobody, the higher up you go, the less people are listening to people down there yelling about why thing is good. So there's no way of that making it back to them, especially when the people that, again, like do have the skills move on to make their own shit because they're like, I made cool good thing.
Yeah.
I knew what I was doing, but that shit's behind me. I moved on to other shit. So no one's left to go, oh, that's how you make good thing. So now is the thing good?
No.
No, it's not good. It's very easy to explain.
Yeah, that was very clear. That was very, very understandable and clear.
Super easy.
I really hope, hey, everybody out there, if you like Sonic games, instead of buying Sonic Forces, buy Sonic Mania. Nothing would make me happier than seeing Sonic Mania actually beat Forces in sales. That would be the best. That would be the best.
Now,
did Biocarm Rearmed beat Biocarm?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And why do you think that got a sequel?
Yeah, exactly.
Rearmed got a sequel,
and
Biocarm
Rearmed deserved
it. Yeah. No, you know,
like that's always like
totally understood. And that's what I was going to say is...
Dark Void Zero beat Dark Void?
You know, nowadays, right, we fortunately live in a world where, you know what, if the thing isn't good anymore, that's fine. We can just find another good thing.
Yeah.
And then people can go, hey, we like that.
But I wanted that good thing.
You wanted that good thing the way it was back when you liked it.
Yes.
And that might never happen again for certain franchises.
And I got really lucky because this one it did.
Yeah.
Like really, really, really lucky.
But in many cases, you might as well just write it off.
I also got like a little personal pride because when I play Sonic Mania and I'm like I'm enjoying it, I'm loving it. It's like I get this feeling of like I was right. Like the things that I cared about were actually the things that made Sonic good.
Yeah, but it's got no chivos though. Those plats aren't. There's no plat.
Who gives? Oh no, you've been in the. Have you been in? In the achievement places again.
All I know is I started with Sonic Adventure, and that was the greatest Sonic game ever made.
Shame you didn't beat it.
Because I wasn't alive before any other Sonic games.
Wait, you're older than that.
And that's why those games are the real Sonic games that need to come out, and the older ones are not as good.
Those are dumb old things.
Those are dumb old things, and I don't get why people keep making noise about it.
You fooled me for a second. I thought you were you.
Also, they got no chivos. Fuck those games.
I can't believe anybody cares about chivos still.
I mean, people that can't help themselves do.
Yeah, but
and
I mean...
And the real argument would be to... Like, if they could yell at themselves, they would, but they can't.
But,
so they're yelling about
but
the
like,
plats instead.
As, like, chivos in my heart died the instant I saw people figure out how to hack them out and not get banned. People were just giving themselves the full 1,000 points.
Or, well, it was in... Like, I think Braid made... It created a conversation where there was achievements that were like, yeah, sure, you got them. And then those real achievements in the form of the stars that were like really deep and hidden and hard to find. And then it made it about like, all right, well, is this about your profile and your number or is it about your sense of completion?
Right.
Because some people are like, I have to have everything, you know, and those people like you kind of get it. in the sense where it's like they want to experience every part of the game, and it's a drive for them, and it's how they enjoy the game and so on. So that's fine. But for the people that it's like, no, I just need that number bigger.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, well, fuck you.
I still remember.
Fuck your shit.
One of my favorite achievements. It's probably my favorite achievement. It's a Dead or Alive 4 achievement, so it's ancient. And when you go online and you lose 3 times in a row, it gives you a 0 point achievement that basically calls you a loser.
Yes.
And you can't get rid of it.
Nope.
It's the best.
That's a strong one. You told you. I mean, we have a lot of people that have signed up since we've last told the story. But back in the day, we used to know a guy that would choose to play his games based on how fast you could get 1,000 achievement points.
Yep.
And
gonna play that last Airbender game, that's for sure.
Gotta go play Avatar. You get him in 5 minutes. 5 minutes to get 1,000. And like, straight up, there's a website that was all about how quickly you could get achievements in every game, and he would just go down the list and use that to determine what to play next. Forget video games.
Mm-hmm.
Forget the forget everything about video games at that point.
No.
It's like, go to website, on survey, collect prize.
Yeah, it's Bitcoin farming. Imagine if your achievements could give you a Bitcoin.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Oh, jeez.
But what about a Dogecoin? What about that?
What about a Burger King coin?
Is that a thing?
Yeah, or a Whopper coin?
Is that like...
They're trying to start an encrypted currency over at Burger King.
Really?
Yeah. That's real.
That's... What? So you could trade burgers for drugs? Is that the plan?
I don't think that's the plan, but I don't think they have a say. Because when you create a cryptocurrency, people that have it get to use it on whatever they deem.
No.
This is worth the value.
This is not allowed.
The plan is for them to be able to use their cryptocurrency of Whopper coin to buy a Whopper.
This is no.
But if someone decides that a Whopper coin is worth a pound of heroin, then they will suddenly have a means of purchasing heroin with a Burger King created currency.
This is too close to Demolition Man. This is too close to having Burger King be like the World Bank or some shit. I don't like this. I don't like this. Because Burger King owns Tim Hortons, and that means we'll get Timmy coins.
Ah, that's not too...
I don't like that.
That's a possibility.
Don't want it.
Yeah.
Don't want it.
Sneak King down the Silk Road.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's solid.
Yeah.
Thumbs up for you.
Thank you. You know what else is solid?
What's that?
The deal you can get over at Casper Mattresses.
I was just talking about Casper Mattresses just the other day.
Really?
Yeah. I was talking to Paige about mattresses.
Go on.
And she was like, what's a good mattress? And I said, well, Wooly sleeps on that Casper, and he seems thrilled.
I am more than thrilled.
That was pretty much the whole conversation.
Okay. I'm very thrilled. My back is thrilled more than anything.
Yeah.
That's because...
Nothing better than waking up and feeling completely nothing.
Yes!
Right?
That's probably the best way to put it.
Oh, man.
Our sponsor to this week is Casper Mattresses, the guys that make obsessively engineered mattresses at shockingly fair prices, you guys. That memory foam remembers the shape and the surface of your body. It's got the right sink, the right bounce, feels good. You wake up in the morning not thinking about the way you slept, and that's the best kind of sleep to have.
Let me ask you, I have a memory foam mattress as well. Do you have a big woolly shape in your bed?
It's not even about a woolly shape in the bed as much as it's about, like, it reforms back to normal.
Yeah.
But when you go on it...
Yeah.
When you're in it, the weight, it knows your weight. It knows your
shape. Okay, because mine doesn't do that. I have a Pat Star.
Yeah?
In my bed.
Yeah, no,
that
no.
That has started to cause a problem.
No. The good memory foam is the stuff that reforms back to normal.
I should probably have gotten a Casper.
But then when you lean into it, exactly, it feels good. And you know what? Hey, look, if you're not sure about how to avoid getting that Pat Star in your bed, you can try a Casper mattress for 100 nights risk-free. And if you don't love it, they'll pick it up and refund you everything. Because hey, you spend a third of your life sleeping. You don't want to hurt your back. You don't have much back to hurt.
Yeah. Wait, what?
With over 20,000 reviews and over a 4.8 stars, it's quickly becoming the internet's favorite mattress. It's my favorite mattress, I'll tell you that much. So, if you want to go on and try that for 100 nights risk-free, that's so many nights, you go to casper.com/superbest, use the offer code superbest, save $50 on that mattress purchase.
Oh man, 50
that
bucks.
You're trying for 100 nights risk-free.
You could buy 10 ice creams.
How much opportunity
bucks.
Do you need to save your back? You know, people are all getting all in a tizzy about comfortable gaming chairs and stuff to sit at while you play.
Yeah.
But you sit at that gaming chair a long time, you spend even more time in bed.
Not if you're a pro gaming chair.
I mean, pro gaming chairs will, you know, they'll help you while you're
gaming.
See,
ideally, if you're smart, you should actually be spending more time in bed.
And if you spend more time in bed and you get up comfortable, you don't have to worry about that gaming chair because your back's going to be in great condition.
You'll be smart, you'll be fast, you'll be clear. Get more sleep in general.
Casper.com/superbest, offer code superbest. Thanks, Casper.
Thanks, Casper.
Do it. We are also sponsored this week by...
Ooh, who is it? I'm excited.
Bluehost. The hosting company I've used for a long time now. Bluehost is the top-rated website provider for over 2 million websites. 2 million. That's...
One of it, which is a website you use.
That is like people... That is a website for every person on the island of Montreal. That's crazy. Tell you what,
are
though.
Are we only at 2 million?
I think we're around there. But when it comes to top-rated websites, that's a great number. You want to start out simple. You want to start out complex. They've got all the tools for you. Fully customizable templates, third-party app support, flexibility and control, and a 99.9999 repeating uptime guarantee. And automated updates. It's super reliable, maximum security. Again, it has all the stuff that I looked at, and I went, that's pretty good.
That's the one I'm going to pick.
I'm going to pick that one.
And that was a long time ago.
24/7 tech support. Best tool to build, manage, and host your website. Top recommended WordPress host since 2005. And if you're doing fancy websites, you're using WordPress, you want the official recommendation.
Why even keep holding a competition like that? All right, you won it for the 12th year in a row.
Thanks, Bluehost. And Bluehost is like, yeah.
Yeah, no, I got this. I didn't even show up.
So, you want to try them out, head on down to bluehost.com/sbfcast and save 50% when you sign up. That's bluehost.com/sbfcast. Cast.
Say 50%.
Get your website up in a good place. Guaranteed. Bluehost.
Thanks, Bluehost.
Thanks, Bluehost. All right. I'd say that's weeks.
I actually played a little bit of Destiny 2.
Oh, yeah, that didn't sell as good as Destiny 1.
No, of course not. You know why? Because Destiny 1 had problems.
But it sold all right, though.
Yeah. Destiny 2, guess what? Here's my one sentence review of Destiny 2. This one's good.
Mm.
That's it.
Mm.
So, because you know everyone's going to talk about all the end game grind and all that shit.
Mm.
The problem with Destiny 1 is that actually beating the campaign and playing the game before that, which is what I'm going to assume most people are actually going to do, sucked. This one, fun.
How's the carryover?
Oh, it's hilarious. There's nothing. Carries over nothing.
Really?
It carries over your character's appearance and start date.
Is it so? It's like it's a shepherd type of situation. ME2.
Not even
less than that.
Yeah,
wow.
It only carries over.
No decisions or weapons.
There are no decisions.
Weapons.
It's a Halo. No, you get all Metroided the fuck out at the beginning of this game.
Of course you do.
You carry over your character's face, their start date, and if you beat Destiny 1, I think you have different dialogue whenever you encounter new enemies. So I watched a friend play it through the beginning tutorial, and he imported a character, and I didn't. So when I ran into these little monster guys, I said, oh, that's the Fallen. They love machines, or equivalent, right?
Mm-hmm.
When my friend ran into him, I was like, that's weird. I've never seen a Fallen under that banner before. You know, just slightly different to acknowledge that you actually know what the fuck that is.
Quick question. When did Destiny 1 come out?
Oh, 2014.
Was that 10 years ago?
No.
So what happened?
Destiny.
real simple question here.
Okay.
I don't seem to recall 2014 being 2007.
No, you listen close.
So what the fuck happened?
Destiny, I'm doing big air quotes, is a 10-year game. What that actually means is Destiny will get 10 years of IP use. That's what it means.
That's stupid. Everything gets more than 10 years of
so
IP
here's what I think.
A big seller nowadays.
Here's what I actually think.
That makes no sense. That's not what they meant when they said that.
No, it's not. And here's in Destiny, but it is, because all that lawsuit between Zampella and those guys and Activision, Destiny 2 or a big expansion. And so what happened was Destiny 1 had problems, and it didn't just have problems for the end user. It had serious systemic problems with like the way they built the levels and stuff like that. They ran into a problem where their tools just weren't cutting it, and it took too long to make or fuck shit up, and it wasn't efficient to keep making stuff.
So they got rock banded.
They kind of got rock banded. So what happened is that like they put out an expansion, and then a game like this comes out and it has a whole release plan of like, for the next 2 years, we're going to have this expansion.
Yeah, the roadmap.
Theirs got completely rewritten like every 6 months.
I see.
And Destiny 2 feels like them trying to do a do-over and have a more accurate roadmap going forward. But like, the implication was that like the implication with Destiny 1 before it came out is that if the game ever had sequels, it would be like Super Destiny, and that it would include old areas and you'd carry your.
I'm trying to like, cause did they say the word franchise in when they first said it? Did they say a 10-year franchise or a 10-year game? Because that is a part of the discussion here. I feel like the sentiment, because we all went whoa when they said that. Was that people were like, oh shit, they're gonna be like.
I feel like they said neither, and they said Destiny's right? gonna last 10 years.
And I'm sure it's like, oh, it's easy to go, oh, that's absurd. Why would they say not a 10-year franchise, but a 10-year game? No one can expect a game to last 10 years.
Unless you're not World of Warcraft.
Or EVE Online. Like, we've seen that shit happen. You know, it's not like there haven't been games
that just sit and last.
Like, so if they said game and not franchise, then I would assume they meant game.
Part
singular.
Of,
I don't know. Maybe that's just me.
Oh, okay. I think the actual thing is we have a 10-year plan for Destiny is the original quote.
Oh, boy. That's super vague. All right. You get plausible deniability.
And then
on
when
every
the expansion came out and people were like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
They were like, no, man.
No. You get plausible deniability on that, because then you just said the word Destiny. So I guess that means
Destiny is Destiny.
Yeah.
I'm playing through the campaign. It's a lot of fun. Like, unlike, so I don't know if you remember me talking about Destiny 1 when I was playing through the campaign and I quit because it was no fun at all.
I stopped after like maybe 2 hours.
Yeah, did you even get off the earth?
Did I?
Yeah, see.
I did. I got off the earth.
You went to the moon?
Yeah, and I did some missions, and I got a thing, and I was like, oh, man, I love it when it goes third person. I wish I'd do that all the time. And
oh, you can like, do that much more often now, yeah. Because swords, which used to be like a story thing, now it's just a weapon type.
And that means Reinhardt?
No. They're power weapons, but it does back you up to third person, and every slash takes ammo, but like it plays more like an Overwatch melee character. But yeah, as opposed to last time, this time I'm having fun just playing through the campaign and earning abilities and shooting guys.
That's a good.
It's amazing what just a little bit of context and a little bit of actual level design can do to you for your game. Hey, look, there's a story piece. Hey, look, this is a level. It's not just a zone that
you wandered
you got
into.
Dumped into. It's a level.
I remember wandering into an area where like dialogue, like plot dialogue started, and I was like, "You didn't establish what this was about or why this person's important." But okay, oh, I'm not supposed to be fighting you right now.
Yeah,
I walked too far. I should have backed up.
Was it underground?
It was inside of a
I know that spot.
Yeah.
That's the fuck you get out of here spot.
Yeah, and I went and I actually decided to fight the horde.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
And it's supposed to tell you like, look, man, there's all sorts of hidden crannies all over the, and it's like,
And then I made it to a boss that I was not supposed to be able to fight, clearly. And then I just peekabooed behind a pillar for, like, a long time.
That's a great experience.
And then killed him. And it was like, okay, you were some...
One of my favorite things.
Something.
I don't know if it was...
From a mission I don't know.
In the first game is that, like, I walked into an area, like, I explored, and, oh, look, what's over here? And a guy shot me and one-shot me, and it told me the recommended level to fight that. And I was like, I'm 100 below that.
Yeah, okay.
That's low.
Okay.
I don't know about its end game or its longevity, but it's fun to play this time at least.
Cool.
And that's my week.
Heavy. Yeah, all right. No, that's fine. That's fine. All right. So, meanwhile, in the news, there it is.
No? Nothing?
Oh, don't you start with those. I do those.
I do them. This is the only... This... is the only way I can get Paige to go in the right direction.
Is that what that is?
That's what that is. Because her direction is terrible. It's awful. So we're playing Dark Souls, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she does the thing that Matt does and you do. All of you fucking do it. Where you just walk into a room, you spin in a circle, and you try to leave through the door that you were going to go through, right? That you came in. You know what stops that? Oh, you were going to make the wrong turn?
That's surprisingly effective.
It's so effective.
Yeah, I got it.
It's also very annoying.
I understood. I overstand. All right, so let's look at the news this week. can I just get some applause? Some applause.
Oh, it's so funny. It's so good. It's so
South
funny.
Park. The fractured but whole character creator. It's very simple. You go through this. It's the sequel to The Stick of Truth. The character creator, as you go through it, takes you through your eyewear, clothes, hands, makeup, facial hair, and so on and so forth. And you design yourself your own South Park character.
Yeah, I'm a superhero.
Right? And I mean, at the end of the day, it's like this has been clearly... it's a gag that we've been using... like, in real life for a while. It's pretty old.
Yeah.
But it's never been used in an official capacity.
At the forefront.
That's why I'm still enjoying this. Because as much as it's like, yeah, we know. We've made this joke before.
Of course.
It's never been, like, in a place where millions of people are going to see it. So you go through the whole game and you design the whole character creator and design your look and such and so forth. And after you get through all of those cosmetic options and, you know, put on your clothes, your hair... you get to the difficulty setting, and when you hit the difficulty setting, there's an easy slider, and then there's a very difficult slider, and as you go over to very difficult, the color of your skin changes from Caucasian to black, with medium difficulty being a slight...
olive.
A slight olive in between. Yeah, perhaps a Mediterranean sort of shade.
Does this actually change anything?
Cartman says, no, don't worry. It doesn't change the fighting or the combat. Just absolutely everything else about your life. I love it. It's so good.
I am so excited.
Mm.
I am so excited for the game facts question thing of how do I play on hard mode with a different skin color? Like, I don't want to play... like, because they're intrinsic. You can't make a character... well, you can't play a character that looks like you.
Man.
That's not on very difficult.
I
can't play a character that looks like me that's not uneasy.
No, it is baked in there, and you know, that's...
I mean, I should get like super easy. I'm see-through. That easy mode doesn't have a shade for me.
I mean, it's hilarious because it's like something that exists that you don't really you don't have to think about because you know you're not black. Is the part where the average video game. You don't that you pop in doesn't have a character that you can really self-insert to or relate, or you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And that's why I was so upset when Grand Theft Auto San Andreas came out.
Oh man, what an effect that had.
That was fun.
That was such an interesting social experiment. Because you know what I mean? Like, you just kind of get used to being, well, you know what it is? We've talked about this before, but it's so interesting to me because you never actually, or rather I never actually realized playing video games that the character I'm playing as was really supposed to be a receptacle for me to self-insert into outside of the basic like Chrono, Ellipsis, or Squall, you know what I mean, type of character where you're like, he doesn't say anything because he's supposed to be you or whatever. I get that part of it. I always understood that part. Mm-hmm. But I never actually understood the part where it was like, no, the guy's supposed to kind of look like you too.
Yeah.
So that you feel like you're Nathan Drake having these adventures.
So like, it's obviously not as extreme because like, I'm a white guy. But like, the fact that I'm a ginger gremlin.
Right.
Also had a little bit of that of like, I'm not tall or well proportioned,
right?
So or have brown hair,
but where,
like everybody else,
where you would have that feeling, I had nothing. I had a blank slot that was like, oh, that's supposed to be a thing.
Yeah,
I had no idea.
Oh, totally.
You know, and then it was like, oh, and then you find out it's like, no, and then even movies and media and stuff, a lot of that is
Will Smith.
It's about relatability, you know, and you didn't know that. You were just kind of like, oh, I thought it was just because. Yeah. That's what people wanted to look at.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you get the moments of, like, I guess, clarity where people are...
San Andreas comes out.
Yeah, forced to be not what they are.
Yeah.
And then people who have been pouring themselves into the cup that is the character...
Yeah.
Don't have that feeling, and it's suddenly weird and uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And then they're upset, and I'm like, what are they upset about? This is normal. Everybody.
Nobody plays a character that looks like them.
What do you mean? Oh. And then the whole problem creates itself immediately, and you go, oh, no. Then you feel it, and it hurts. You feel the weight on your chest. So when a Bionic Commando comes out, and I like swinging, and they go, we gave the guy dreadlocks.
And you're like, hey.
I like dreadlocks.
There you go.
That's pretty cool. And everyone's like, fuck that. Get this shit out of here.
Here's the one time that me and you were actually opposed. Because I'm like, that's one of the only redheads ever. Mm-hmm. Ever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he has shocking, bright red hair.
He does, yeah. Yeah.
And that got taken away from me and given to you.
With the fucking dreadlocks.
But we both ended up getting it, so it's
fine. He ended up being ginger and dreadheaded at the same time. Yeah.
Well, when he's got the dreads, he doesn't have red hair, right? It's more like a light brown.
Yes. And when he's in
that happens.
Yeah.
Like, my hair is turning brown over time.
Yeah, well, I mean, I know, like, people that have brown hair and, like, red facial hair, right? That's a regular
thing. Oh, I'm going to end up with black hair and this weird red hair.
Yeah, that's...
My dad had black... My dad, before he all went gray, because now he's an old man, he had black, brown, red, white, gray, red hair.
Okay.
In his mustache. His mustache was a fucking rainbow.
Okay. Anyway, it ends up being super interesting because, CJ ends up being this thing that, like, people get super upset about and then go, oh, no, wait, I always secretly wanted to be this.
And if you...
This is the greatest feeling ever.
Oh, man.
I get to feel like a cool guy.
Yeah.
Hanging out with my cool dudes in the hood.
Oh, yeah.
That's the life I secretly
And then that's
wanted,
the when it awakened.
But I wanted it safely through the lens of my TV screen. Safe. Behind the zoo, you know?
Oh, man.
Where you can just admire it from a distance, but then turn it off and go back to your normal life.
Back to real life.
Oh.
Oh.
That was getting a little too real there.
You turn the corner, it's like, is that big smoke? Oh, no. Because he's a villain, you see? Because he's a villain.
Oh, man. Yep. So, That was an awakening.
This is hilarious. This is the South Park thing is hilarious now. It's only going to get funnier over time.
Oh, for sure. Especially when you go past this and a little bit later into the game, you sit down with Principal Mackey.
Yeah, yeah, right? You have that conversation.
And Principal Mackey's like, so are you a boy or a girl? You know, and then you choose.
Yeah,
like,
you choose your options.
Choose your option. You're like male, female, transgender. And then for each one, it's like he goes, oh, really? Because in the last game, we totally thought.
Yeah,
because
in the first game,
you only got to be a boy. Exactly. Yeah. He's like, oh, geez.
And then he calls your parents.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he's like, all right, no, totally cool. Just making sure. All right, no, no. Yes, it was a girl the whole time.
Okay. Yeah,
good. Just making sure. Yep. And it just retcons the first game entirely because you weren't able to express who you were. Fucking genius, man.
Oh, it's hilarious.
I love that. I love that so much.
South Park's been on the air for how many years?
Oh, God.
Like, since we were kids.
Forever, yeah.
And it's still funny.
Yeah. Well, again, it goes through that circle, right? That cycle of stupid dick and shit jokes. It's hilarious at first. Then you just get tired of it because you're like, I expect more sophistication from my humor.
Yeah?
And then you come back to it later on going, oh, that shit's great. And then they go, by the way, we also have scathing, venomous commentary about the state of affairs on the planet.
Everything.
And then you go, oh, man, that's a hot take.
And then Cartman pulls something out of your ass. You go, it really makes you think.
You know? Bunny Hop, that's a hot take right there. You want to pay attention to those.
Are we making fun of Bunny Hop for being bad at games?
Hey, is that what we're doing?
Oh, I feel bad for him because he's getting all that
No, we're making fun of him for being good at journalism.
Oh, man. So when he was like, you don't have to be good at games to be a good games journalist.
A reporter.
I'm like, are you making a distinction between reviewing products and reporting news? And he's like, yeah, absolutely. I go, great. I think everybody actually agrees with you. And that gives you a good excuse to be shit at For Honor.
That's good stuff. Oh, man. Yeah, so.
See, he's got a built-in Johns for everything. Built-in. Oh, I love you, George.
John Armor.
John Armor? So Master Chief?
Speaking of armor, that's pretty cool. I mean, I just like knowing that this is out there. But Neo's final DLC, Bloodshed's End, is coming out this month, which means when you eventually do make your way back to Neo, you have a complete ass package waiting for you.
There are a lot of DLCs that came out with Neo, and they're all substantial.
It's really awesome that they've supported this game as much as they have. And one of the main things with Bloodshed's End is that it adds the equivalent of Bloody Palace to the game.
That's all right.
So, shout outs to Team Ninja. You guys are doing it. They continue to show their trend of supporting the fuck out of the game.
I want to love Neo. I don't think I like it very much, but I keep wanting to go back to it because, like, the way they've treated this game is amazing. Like, they've added, like, there was a season pass out, and a lot of season passes aren't worth bullshit. This one has delivered a ton of shit over and over and over. They added new weapons.
Yeah.
They added a new character.
I feel like it's been a once a month drop. Perhaps it's been a little less frequently than that.
Probably a little bit before, but it's like,
almost.
A huge new Neo thing is coming out. This one has new weapons. This one has a new character. This one has like 35 convenience features that you can't believe they're actually going to put in. They added co-op, for fuck's sake.
Yeah. No.
That's a mode you see in a sequel.
This feels like if you bought the season pass, you really got your fucking money's worth out of it for once. You know?
Oh, I know. Neo fans are insufferable. They're the worst. They have good reason to think Neo is the best game forever because they've been treated well.
They've been treated really well.
Fucking absolutely. Good job, Team Ninja. This makes me jealous.
Well, because Ninja Gaiden, Sigma, and Black, and all those things that came out afterwards, like...
Those were all boxed, like...
Boxed titles that you had to go purchase, exactly.
But it makes me jealous because, like, remember the Ice DLC? I don't even remember the fucking Ashes of Ariandel.
Ariandel, yeah.
It's like, that was really disappointing. And Ring City was much better, but it's like, can we get support like that?
Yeah, but...
That... Like, the support that Team Ninja got was heavily, the support that Team Ninja delivered was heavily based on feedback. They took a lot of feedback.
Well, even before the game fucking came out.
Yeah, even before the game came out. Massive surveys. How things work, how they feel, how you upgrade.
And that options screen is still the most extensive console Willie, options to date.
You want to hear about a convenience feature that got added to Neo that'll blow your mind?
Go.
They added a feature that you can select level and gear rarity to auto junk when you pick it up.
Wow.
So everything below a green or everything below a certain thing will just auto junk.
Fucking rad. I love that.
Like, I heard that and almost dived right the fuck back in.
Seriously.
Because that solves my biggest problem in that game.
You think FromSoft took feedback like that?
It has been long standing. Like, Marcus, aka Epic Name Bro, has gone on, like, at length on record. He's had dinner with Miyazaki, and it is really, really clear that the From Software guys don't look at or get any community stuff put
coming
at them
going
ever.
Out. Yeah.
Marcus sat
down. Yeah, I remember you told me
this
story.
And had a dinner with Miyazaki like 2 years ago and showed him off all this bullshit from Demon Souls. Mm-hmm. And Miyazaki's like, wow, I've never seen that. Like,
yeah.
How are you supposed to balance your game when you don't even know what exploits are? Like, it makes me jealous. And at the same time, I kind of appreciate...
I kind of get it.
That the From Software games are an island.
Yeah. No, I kind of get it. I really do feel that, like, there's something to be said about the whole, like, no, we don't, we just do our thing. You know what I mean?
But at the same time, like, let's take healing as an example, right? Every single Souls game or Souls-like game like Bloodborne has a different healing system, right? They all have pros and cons, and some were made as explicit solutions to problems in prior games, right?
Yep.
But they flip-flop. Problems that were solved last time are back this time, like blood and Bloodborne and having to go farm vials, right? Like Estus, you never have to farm for it. You never have to. You can't.
Yes. Yeah. But vials, you
problems
have to go,
that got solved in the last game are reintroduced in the new one. And there's lots of stuff like that. The weapon scaling, the way online works and some, like, it's because they do, like, nobody goes to them and tells them this is the one that people want. This version of this is the one that people love.
But the thing that, like, even like something like that is a major gameplay decision, right?
Yeah.
That, you know, they might or might not want to listen to feedback on.
Yeah.
But something like picking up dupes or picking up shitty rare non-rare items gets auto-junked is just, again, it's just quality of life.
Yeah, just makes the game better.
And Dark Souls and Demon Souls and Bloodborne do not pay attention to quality of life at all.
Ever.
And, like, there's no downside to having quality of life improvements
in your
game.
There is a quality of life change that I've wanted in every single Souls game, and I genuinely think at this point I'm never, ever, ever going to get it. And it is, if you equip multiple weapons, it only counts the weight for the thing that you have in your hand.
Sure. Sure.
Because Dark Souls 3 has 3 weapon slots, right? That ostensibly makes me think that I should be equipping multiple weapons for different situations, right? Mm-hmm. But all of the weight all counts simultaneously. So if I actually equip all 3 weapons, I'm going to move like a slow-ass piece of shit. Wouldn't it be nice to actually be able to switch between a heavy and a thing?
Or just, like, the complexity of, like, cycling through options when you have a message and a lever in front of you and a summon sign in front of you. You know, basic shit that
Why
other
can't
games
it just
don't
be
struggle
that,
with.
That any activatable object, you can't put down messages
or,
in front
or,
of.
You know, or just, like, different buttons. Like, it's just, or, like, the way you have to put a message down. It's like there's just so much stuff that are just like, this is not the most, this is not the easiest way of doing this.
There's one that I think of from Final Fantasy 15 that I hope they change for the PC version that is, like, a good microcosm of all the complaints we'd have about quality of life in Dark Souls.
Mm-hmm.
Why is jump and pick up an item the same button?
Right. Yeah. Of course.
It's astonishing.
Of course.
It's mind-blowing.
Like, either, like, if you want jump as a mechanic that you need people to rely on to make these, like, daring maneuvers, then you have to make it a fucking button that can be used and that's not fucking R3.
Why isn't square, which is attack, right? Isn't it? Whatever. But square, circle, triangle, any
shoulder
of
buttons are attack.
Yeah, what... Oh, we played on different control schemes for sure.
What are you talking about?
I played on like...
Sorry, are you talking about Neo?
No, I'm talking about...
Souls?
So I'm talking about 15.
FF15?
Yeah.
Sorry, I thought you were still talking about Souls. I was like, no. Square's Attack, what the fuck? Yeah. How are you getting that wrong? Okay, it's 15, yes, default, yeah. Sure, or Circle, rather.
Whatever the fuck.
Anyway, there's lots of things like that I think could have benefited.
It's like the game could just be better.
Yeah.
So. And like, you know, they do balance passes on the game. You know, they'll do like 1.0 whatever. And a lot of the time, what I see from like guys in the PvP community is they're like, these changes are random. They don't seem to follow rhyme or reason as to like why something was buffed or nerfed. It's goofy.
There's pluses and minuses to like super transparency with your development cycles, like Rising Thunder's patch notes and such.
Yeah, oh, they're so good.
But like with that transparency, you know, kind of I guess comes like the loss of some like mystique in a weird way.
Oh, of course.
You know, but yeah, I think Neo. The point is, Neo, you did good.
Yeah,
good job.
There are things in the Souls games that are surfaced to you that are lies. Like certain scaling numbers or certain scaling letters that are just straight up lies. Because there's a good B and a bad B for scaling, right?
Like not B plus or B minus.
Just that B. That one's a good B.
Red B or blue B.
No, just, yeah, red B or blue
red
B. Yeah,
red B or blue B.
Like why?
And you're like... But they're both B. You can make it say B plus and B minus. How would they both be? But it's blue and it's red. What the fuck are we doing here?
Oh,
yeah. That,
thumbs up to Neo. You guys are doing it.
That's a bad one. Oh, man. Anyway. Ubisoft is doing it. And they're doing it with...
Oh, yeah, they are.
The guys that made...
Oh, I thought this was going to be a different news story.
Ubisoft is doing it with the guys that made Grow Home. This is a weird little one, but check it out, right?
Atomega
is a FPS.
Whoa. I'm watching this trailer and I'm getting confused.
But it's an FPS where you katamari your body into being a larger creature to attack and survive more and be more powerful with. So you start as a single, like, 3D pixel.
Yeah.
And then you pick up mass.
Grow up into like a little frog
as
and then
you
like a,
absorb other pixels.
Like a primate and then like a big monster.
And then you see giant robot type like ogre dudes. And then you see like, yeah, dinosaurs and then a super form and you're flying. And it's an FPS. You're just shooting other players, but you're picking up and growing forms dynamically. And like as you get broken down and destroyed, you get reverted back to a single pixel. So multiplayer knack. Is what's happening.
I was about to say, like, somebody wants in on the Knack game. Knack 2, too strong.
Yeah. So the 3D pixels, or voxels, they're called.
I thought this was going to be about Yves Guillermo buying up Ubisoft shares.
Oh, wait, what? That happened? Oh, that's cool. Okay, hold on. I didn't know about that. Atomega, looking cool. Good job. I love Grow Home. Grow Home is a cool game. Grow Up is another cool game.
Yeah.
These guys make good games. What the fuck? Really?
Guillermo bought 2 million shares of Ubisoft.
Wow! So he just solved that fucking problem for good.
I think he bought 1.5% of the company or something like that.
Holy shit.
Now, I don't know if that actually solved the problem. I think it might still be ongoing, but I did see that he bought it. And that would put us... I mean, he's probably a pretty rich guy, but... Even to a pretty rich guy, buying millions of shares of a company like that has got to be fucking nuts, right? I think it was the family group. And you know, that kind
of
thing.
Yeah, 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 of course. His like, yeah, exactly. His concern. His Garcia concern. The Guillermo concern. Because
to those of you who don't know, Vivendi Universal has... Oh my God, Wooly.
I'm looking for the news and I'm getting added.
To those of you who don't know, Vivendi Universal, which is the former... owner of Activision Blizzard, is trying to buy Ubisoft, or Ubisoft.
Rather. There is an attempt at a hostile takeover. It's been going on for years.
It has been extremely blatant and hostile. They have been buying it the fuck up.
Okay, so the last we heard, once again, they're making moves for the hostile takeover.
Yep.
And Ubi hates that shit, and they want nothing to do with it.
Now, I wanna take a little aside right before we go into it. Vivendi Universal is the former owner of Activision Blizzard, because Activision Blizzard hated being under Vivendi Universal's thumb so much that they bought their companies back.
Back, yes.
That's how shit it is to have somebody from Vivendi be your boss.
But Vivendi wants it back, and they want that money.
They want money.
And they've been slowly trying to buy up shares from shareholders that basically could get them over that 51%.
Yeah.
So now, so the story here that you're telling me is CEO Yves Guillemot actually went and did it himself?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, hold on. I need to summarize this, because this is the interview we're looking at with him here. But what's the deal? What's I'm reading this. Okay. Vivendi slowly buying shares. They had a 27% stake. And where does it say how much his stake is? No, he's talking about his games. He's talking about his games. Okay. Where'd you catch the story?
I saw it on Gaff. I didn't actually grab the article. I should have now.
All right, we're doing this live. What is it? Research will save the
facts. Will destroy fact checking. Will ruin go. This podcast.
There you go. We're fact checking.
Oh, I tried to go to Bloomberg for business stuff and it fucking broke.
Okay, we're going in hot. We're going in live.
Yeah, I'm only seeing
Ubisoft.
There we go.
Saguenay invests in Quebec.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Ah, it's a French article. That's why. Okay.
There's all everyone's talking about the Saguenay office.
Yeah.
That's all we really see. Here he is talking about the potential Vivendi takeover, but I'm not seeing it, so I'm going to leave this up to you, Pat.
Okay, so I am finding it on a French website called Numerama.com in their business section.
Numerama.
Yeah.
Is that like N-E-W?
N-U-M.
Merama. Okay.
Yeah, that'd be it.
All right. We're doing it live. Doing it fucking live.
Whatever, man. I'll send you the fucking thing. It was from the 5th of September, 2017.
Oh, boy.
This
is terrible. You want to just read that shit out so we can get on with
it? Yeah, in French? I'll read it out in French.
Well, translate. Your name's Boivin.
Yeah. Pass to the bar, 60 million euros. What is this about fucking Daily Motion?
Shoutouts to Mothman for making really good art. And
I think I'm going to... Wait, what?
The Gold Smoke Knight is
okay,
cool.
I'm giving up.
All right.
I gave up.
Awesome.
I may have brought on a not real...
Thank you.
...thing.
Perfect. Shall we just pretend it didn't happen?
Let's just pretend it didn't happen.
Nope. Not going to do it.
What's an Ubisoft? Hey, Adam Ega looks cool.
Lots of Capcom announcements coming out.
Let's see it.
Lots of Switch announcements coming out.
Let's see that. Hey, games on Switch. I like that. I like my Switch.
Resi Rev 1 and 2.
Good.
Coming to Switch.
Resi Rev 2 in particular is a perfect game for the Switch.
Seems like they're trying to get some Steam going.
No, those are out on Steam.
So,
fuck it.
Yeah, coming on the 28th of November.
So luckily, this is another Capcom test. No, I just probably.
Now, are you going to be able to like fucking dual Joy-Con it and like split screen or something? Or
I don't know about that.
How's that going
to
work?
You're very, very likely going to be able to use two controllers, like two proper controllers, and play split screen. But what's more exciting to me is if you have two Switches.
But what I'm thinking about is if you have... Oh, no, wait, it's not a Wii U. Never mind.
What's not a Wii U?
I was like, imagine if one person was playing on the Wii U game controller and the other person was playing on the
Wii U. No, it's not a Wii U.
It's not a Wii U. Yeah. You can't even do that.
I recently forgot that the Wii U existed.
Okay.
Somebody asked me, "Hey, man,
that's weird.
What do you think of Bayonetta coming? A Bayonetta port coming to the Switch?" And I said out loud, "Bayonetta's already out on the Switch. That's what the big thing was. The Bayonetta 2 was coming to the Switch." Like the Wii U has been erased from my mind.
Well,
good riddance.
Resi Rev 2, Resi Rev 1 are coming, and they're alongside that was the announcement of Resi 7 Gold, I like calling it Resi, like a proper Brit.
Mm-hmm.
Which includes all the DLC and band footage and the upcoming DLC, End of Zoe. So there's more shit coming out.
So I should point out, I personally didn't remember End of Zoe, but maybe that's new, but I don't remember. Not a Hero was supposed to come out like in May.
Mm.
It's the DLC that has you play as Chris Redfield in Resident Evil 7.
What happened?
Don't know. They right before it came out, they're like, no, we're going to push it back. And now it's being pushed back to December 14th.
Hmm. Okay.
So I don't know what the fuck is going on with that. Me and Matt were planning to be like, oh, when that comes out in a month or two, just bam. Do the DLC for RE7, right?
Nope. And then nothing.
Then nothing.
And now this.
And now this. It's like announcing the gold edition before that stuff's out seems a little weird. Sounds like the gold edition was supposed to be announced now no matter what.
Right. And to stay on track, it still is. But there's going to be more to it.
Hey, everybody. Ono revealed everything. Just keep the trailers coming out at the same speed.
Well, the problem is that if your gold edition is supposed to basically be game of the year, which I hate that that's the terminology.
Why?
For it. Because it's not the game of the year. It just means
they won a lot of game of the year awards.
But it's bullshit. It's really just the game of it's the game with all the DLC included.
Would you be happy if it has, like, a GameSpot's Game of the Year edition?
No. Can we just say, like, the complete edition?
No.
Or the full package?
No.
Or Game Plus DLC?
No. Wait, what if it's your Game of the Year? Then do you mind if it...
Your personal Game of the Year.
Yeah.
Insert your name here.
Yeah.
Write it on, and then you can look at it and feel good.
You know what makes me laugh super hard? Remember ReCore came out with the Definitive Edition?
Did it?
Yeah, it did. Definitive edition. Definitive edition is what you call your game when it didn't actually win any of the Game of the Year awards.
I guess so. I guess that's what that means. But it's just even it. But like, if I'm not mistaken, didn't people start using Game of the Year edition for games that did not win Game of the Year? Anyways,
because people will say Borderlands will come out. It's like, I'll just wait for the Game of the Year edition because they're saying I'm waiting for all the full complete package.
Okay. All right. Ubisoft's founder buys another 1.75% of the company's
share. Oh, where'd you find this?
It just popped up.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah.
Yay.
It's not 51%, but...
Yeah, they're getting there.
Cool. So
Vendy sucks. No one likes him.
So there's a lot of footage that came out for Biomutant.
Yeah. I think it's probably too early to be showing off.
Did you take a look?
Yeah,
25 minutes, in fact. And you definitely are playing as Guts the Raccoon.
As a Biomutant.
Like, let's not pretend you're not. However, it seems to just be sort of a beat-em-up with a gun, you know?
Action game. I genuinely believe it was a little too early for this game to be shown.
Well, it's interesting because in the 25 minutes, you kind of end up seeing some very samey combat. Which, you know, I mean, to be fair, like, it's an action game. That's fine. I was expecting more, I guess, of the Biomutant mechanic to shine in this initial look at the game.
Wanted some more Biomutancy?
I wanted some more, like, weird evolutions and changes to your character.
Like, I'm a snake guy.
Changes to your combat and changes to your shit. Yeah. Like, I don't know, a little bit of Spore, I guess, is kind of what I thought we'd be getting.
Yeah.
Not that it's the right genre for it, but it's still just not what I expected, I suppose.
I feel unfortunate for this game because it can't possibly live up to, like, that first picture with just the title.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Because that game in our promising head is just
always going to be better.
It's too strong.
Yeah. But what we do get here is some pretty decent looking combat and some pretty decent, like, gunplay. There's also a narrator, and the main point of this article is about how the narrator is persistent, not quite in a Bastion type way, but he's constantly there, you know, kind
he's
of
around,
telling you the story, as it were. But you can sort of choose how much of him you want to hear or not hear. And there's a system that, like, sort of automatically scales it in a way where, like, the longer you play, the less you hear him in a given session.
Oh, okay.
So basically, there's, like, tons of options in place to not get annoyed with this guy talking.
See, I really like
over
that.
Your adventure.
One of the things that one of the very first mods that people make for those Fallout games, or, you know, the newer ones, is depending on the game, depending on what kind of quests they have. Often there is not a quest that does not have an objective, right? Mm-hmm. So I remember for Skyrim, they added one, which was just like Wander Skyrim or whatever. And it's an objective that doesn't give you a point on your map because you just want to be left alone. You don't want the constant cursor on the horizon.
That's pretty good.
And this sounds like the narrative equivalent of that. I'm just like, no. Just leave me alone. I just want to play quiet.
Well, the key here is that you can't turn him off. And the reason why you can't turn him off is because it's important to the story. It's important to the lore. And he's a character in the game.
Sure.
Right? So there's like, you know, important lore reasons why you cannot get rid of the narrator. But they in order to not be bothered by that, they definitely go over the top with like letting you not get annoyed by him. Which is, yeah, that's pretty dope.
Hopefully it shapes up and comes out good.
Yeah.
It's definitely got a lot of interesting things going on for it. It'd be a shame for it to just come out half-baked or whatever, you know?
Yeah, that's exactly it. And I guess I'm hoping to see a lot more unique mechanics with the brunt of the gameplay, which is, you know, these like large arena combat things. You're also like, since you're playing as a little creature, you know, the camera really zooms out way further than I expected, and it really emphasizes like how tiny you are compared to everything else.
Even the smaller enemies are still like at least a couple inches taller than you.
Yeah, it really is like, you know, and there's something about that kind of camera too that what it makes me think of, like, I guess the game like Stories a little bit, where you're playing as that little like fox mouse guy. Did you? I don't know if you saw that, but Liam and I took a look at that a while ago.
I'm not familiar.
It reminds me of stuff like that. It reminds me of, you know, like action games that are like a little less committed to their in-depth combat, I suppose. Mm-hmm. But anyway, hoping for more Biomutant.
Could it have just stayed unannounced forever?
Could it have stayed in not English? That would have been fantastic.
Oh man,
with that crazy ass subtitle. I wish. What else we got? What else we got?
Reggie, I just saw something. Reggie's being a massive liar.
There's a Nintendo Direct coming up. Yeah. What's going on with Reggie? So
Reggie has a quote out. Don't pay more than $80 for a Super Nintendo Classic. Supply won't be an issue.
He said that.
This is a direct quote.
You know what?
I would strongly urge you not to overbid on a SNES Classic on any of the auction sites. You shouldn't have to pay more than $79.99.
Supply will not be an issue,
he
says.
He added that for the SNES Classic, supply is not the issue.
Is not the issue or will not be an issue?
So this is where...
Very different statements.
Yeah, so it...
Because if he says will not be an issue, I'm going to choose foolishly to believe and see where that gets me.
Strongly urge you not to bid.
Not going
to
go buy one of those $300 fucking EB Games packages get
the exact
a fucking is plush.
Supply is not the issue. Don't overbid.
Supply is not the issue. Yeah. Okay. That's the lies. That's the big hard lies.
Fuck off.
Wow. Right?
Supply's not the issue. It's demand. There's too much demand. Like...
Don't pay more than $80 unless it includes a sweet ass Zelda case for your Switch
and costs $400.
And these amiibos. Huh?
Did you know you could use amiibos to shove up your ass?
$300, buy the bundle. SNES Switch case amiibo bundle. It's the only way you're gonna get it. Buy it now.
Don't use the auction sites.
Buy it now. Fuck you, buy it now.
Are you going to try?
Supply is not the issue.
Are you going to try? Get a SNES Classic?
What is the issue? What is the issue? How about that?
Supply is no. It's not.
It's not supply.
It's not supply.
Is it demand?
No, it's probably demand.
He must be implying that demand is the issue.
It's your fault.
basic economics dictates that if it's not one, it's the other.
Is it shipping channels? Maybe. Can't get enough of them out there.
Could it be the Mexican drug cartels the issue?
Yeah. Standing behind fucking Reggie. Finger on the button.
Oh my god. Is it that hard, guys? Is it really that
hard?
More. Turns out people want to have a small Super Nintendo with an HDMI output.
Make more, or have all pre-orders be filled eventually, or there's a million fucking things you could do. There's a, like...
Supply is not the issue. You are, says Reggie.
It's you. Stop buying it and there'll be more for other people. Duh, idiot.
Oh man, I was gonna talk about how there is the rumor of not the Switch, but the two possible Platinum 2-pack that is Bayonetta and Vanquish. So continuing their trend of, you know, after Steam, after this, mm-hmm. after that, what's better? How do we get this in more hands? Re-release it on current consoles with both together.
Bayonetta and Vanquish as a 2-pack is a hell of a deal.
Platinum is porting their games for money. That's the news.
Platinum never loses its luster.
It doesn't. You know it does, though.
What's that?
What loses its luster?
Drugs?
Yeah, on your body.
Love? What do you want from me?
How about
yeah.
the world of Middle Earth?
Oh.
Does that lose its luster?
I don't think it was very lustrous to begin with, personally.
I can quote you a couple hundreds of pages yeah. describing
the luster yeah.
of the world of Middle Earth.
Is this about that dumb thing they said?
Let's talk about Shelob.
It's that dumb thing that, oh boy.
All right, so Monolith. About Shelob in Shadows of War Mordor. What's the fucking... Is it...
Shadow of War.
What's the other... What's the rest of it?
Something Middle Earth. Legends of Middle...
Battle for Middle Earth?
Fuck it, I don't know. No, that's a different game.
Kellogg's Boobery.
There it is.
Monolith on Shelob. We don't propose things that are insane and unjustified. Now, to be fair, this has an interesting factoid that I did not know. And I will stand corrected on that point, but let's go. We had a chance to talk to director Bob Roberts about why Giant Spider Shelob is now an attractive femme fatale and why nobody has created a Shadow of Mordor clone yet. Blah, 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 blah. It all sounds good, blah, blah, blah. But Shelob, for example, I'm glad she's not a giant spider because I hate them. Ha, 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 ha. I think it's fair to say that Tolkien would not like this game. Ha, 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 ha. But I suspect he'd hate all video games. I bet Chris Tolkien hates them too.
Oh, what a huh.
Probably, but we run everything through Middle Earth Enterprises.
It's the most says soulless Bob Roberts. Thing ever.
They've had all our ideas. We get feedback from them on specific details. Like, for example, there's an enemy who had his evil, who's evil. His blood must be black, right? Black blood for evil enemies. So these things have to be consistent. We're huge fans. We don't propose things that are insane and unjustified. I understand from the books that Shelob was not literally a giant spider. She was kind of a demon, and she'd just taken that form. That I didn't know.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I feel stupid now.
Yeah, she's some sort of demigod, and we give our justifications when we pass this stuff along for approvals. This is where we pulled the frame. This is where we pulled the rationale for doing this thing that wasn't in the books, but we think it makes sense in the context.
Yeah.
How do you feel when fans complain? Because you, blah, your fans, blah. It was yourselves, blah, 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 blah.
Want everybody to be happy, but we do what we think is best. Don't want to just rehash the old stuff. Yada, yada, yada.
Right. So the key point here is that apparently in the books, Shelob was not literally a giant spider, but a demon that took on the form of a giant spider.
Which means she could take on the form of a hot lady.
And that's entirely plausible and fine. And you know what? You're right. You didn't propose something that was insane and unjustified, just something that was hacky.
And stupid.
And tired. That's all.
Oh man, did Matt show you that fucking that fucking trailer from one of the orc machine groups or whatever?
No.
It's all fucking dubstep and fucked. Oh man,
like, I didn't see it.
Like, I'd agree. Like, that would hit a little harder if not for every piece of marketing of this game being like the most embarrassing fucking dude bro like rock music fucking shit ever. And it being just rife with microtransactions.
Yeah. No. I guess
they're taking Middle Earth and they're trying to make it the most dude bro thing ever. But they are technically coloring within the lines.
Shelob is Pennywise.
There it is. Yeah, bam.
Pennywise is not a clown. Don't think he's a clown. He's not a clown. Never said it was a clown.
He's the essence of fear in clown form.
That's it. That's all you need to know. Yeah. No, there definitely is something to be said about Yoko Taro just going, I like girls. And then that's the end of
that's
it.
That's the end of it.
That's the end of that.
People just going, Yoko Taro, please bless me.
But why would, but why, because that's it.
Is Yoko Taro like the anti-Kamiya on Twitter?
Maybe. He doesn't ban anybody. He follows everybody.
Yeah.
And he wants you to send him as much porn as possible.
I had a horrible moment the other day where, remember we were talking about rappers last week and mm-hmm. how I don't know nothing about it?
Sure.
But like, so I was looking at my Twitter and somebody said, hey dude, did you know Lil B follows you? And I went, no. So then I went to Lil B's Twitter. Lil follows you.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah.
Along with 1.49 million other people.
Of course.
And I'm like,
well, yeah. Guess what? Well, the fucking sodas. I don't even know the some giant super mega like CEO social media maven person.
Yeah,
that pops up in like your most popular follower this month is a guy that follows like 800,000 people.
What does your feed look like when you follow that many people?
You don't look at your feed.
Well, you what,
you just don't you don't click there because that's not
just
the point.
Orate?
It's the follow. It's the whole. What's the follow back mechanic, right? It's all like you can like Lil B is a genius because he fucking follows everyone and everything, and people feel good about that. So
I
then
felt,
they follow you.
I felt
you.
Good for a second.
You can absolutely build that fan base because people. One of the easiest ways.
Follow for follow.
That's it. F for F. Sub for sub.
Sub for sub.
Sub for sub. It's such a basic mechanic, but the base god understands the basics of the base mechanic. Where he just goes, I'm a click follow. You see it because when a giant ass followed person follows you.
It tells you.
It tells you right away. And you go, oh my God, he's important. And then he goes, and you go, he likes me. I should follow him.
That's got to be a robot, right? Like, that's a lot of clicks.
That he's not clicking on 1.4 million people's follow buttons. You best believe he's paying somebody to do it.
Damn.
Yeah, man, it's a really effective system.
I got tricked by the social media.
Like Instagram has this whole thing of like anytime someone popular gets followed, there's all these people that like see it and then they go to that person and they just like a random photo or something you've got. And then you go, oh, someone liked my photo. And then you go in and you're like, oh, I guess I should follow them.
Oh, that's the mind share.
That's the game we play. Other games we play were L.A. Noire.
We played it too early, everybody.
Too early. Really?
The LP is ruined.
Oh, no. They announced L.A. Noire stuff after we just finished
playing it. It's not actually going to include anything that you didn't see in the LP.
And it's not like we needed it to be like happening then at the time we started it.
And it would have no actual performance or visual improvements that you would have seen over the PC version that we played.
Ruined.
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 Screwed up. The only thing it would have done is made it slightly easier to record.
Yeah.
That's it.
Time to start over.
Ah, well.
Rockstar Games announces L.A. Noire coming to the Switch, Xbox One, PS4, and the VR spinoff.
See, now that's interesting.
That's fun. I want to know what that's about.
It's VR case files, and they've taken case files from the game in and turned them into VR games.
Yeah, so these are unique new cases, though.
No, it says they've been adapted case files from the game.
But what adapted?
That means old cases got
converted into VR scenes.
Into VR games.
And you don't? I'm sure you're not gonna have to walk around and find evidence.
Hell no, you're gonna teleport around
and talk to people.
Yeah,
yeah.
Makes sense for VR because that face tech probably works great in VR.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong here, did we not even start considering this? No, we started considering it a while ago, right? Mm-hmm. Matt and I originally talked about this a long-ass time ago.
Long time ago.
But it sat on the back burner, and then it popped up when the rumors of this re-release started to surface.
Oh, is that why?
I feel like that's what happened. I don't know. But I feel like there were rumors that popped up early enough on that we actually started to go, yeah, we should go do that. We wanted to do it for a while, and then we did. So it's almost like it's related anyway.
Almost.
Anyway, so that's pretty cool. I'm looking forward to seeing those exaggerated ass faces in VR. I want to get close up to the old man, see those wrinkles.
Oh, man.
Get as close as you can to that old man. Just rub your VR goggles on his lips.
And then there's some other stuff going on with the Kickstarter world.
Ooh.
We have Okinawa Rush.
Matt mentioned that, and we did a video for it.
Yes, Okinawa Rush is currently on its last 48 hours, I believe. Let me confirm that. But it's about to end. And where is it at?
It's
just shy.
39 hours to go.
Okay, so it's two days away from being wrapped up, and it has 8,000 pounds of 10,000 right now. And it seems like if they hit their goal, I don't know the full details on it because Matt hasn't fully explained in detail.
He was being very coy.
He was. However, if I'm to understand correctly, there's a possibility that the Baz might make his way into Okinawa Rush. And that's pretty dope because that game was cool.
One more game to the Baz pile of confusion.
Well, yeah, one more reason for everyone to get upset and worried that this random character is showing up in all their games. I approve.
Yes.
I like it. Mm-hmm. So that's going down. And another thing that unfortunately I think the timing like just sort of missed me because I was away at the Mm-hmm. But Beyond Human is a Kickstarter that was going on as well for a Metroid-like combat game that looks pretty dope as well. But unfortunately, I think its Kickstarter failed.
Just like...
Because
it looks great, just like all of the other ones.
Just like all the other ones, it looks really
Man,
cool.
Man, Ghost Song was lucky as shit.
Yeah.
Because it was the first one.
It got in there nice and early. And so the thing with Beyond Human, they got in touch and had a cool, like sort of like, hey, maybe, you know, Baz. And I saw a little picture. Little mock-up, and I was like, oh, fuck, that's a really cool Baz. It's a really cool Baz mock-up. But got in touch a little...
It's becoming known that this is the fastest way to the best friend's heart sure. is through their Baz.
Sure. It's that simple. The Baz Everywhere system commences now. but unfortunately, it was like a little too late because it was like, again, like hours, you know, from falling short, and I was overseas. It couldn't be helped, Shket and I. But that was one of them too. And I think they're going to have some other follow-up plans for this, though. So this cool pixel art talent will not be going to waste,
Yourself
as far as I understand.
For your success in the future, guys.
Yeah. Let's see here. Yeah, that's good. That's fine. I mean, you know, there's other stuff like a million concurrent players on fucking... Battlegrounds.
So yeah, I mentioned that it League of Legends on Twitch the other day, remember?
Yeah.
And then but when I said that, they were at like 850.
What the fuck?
That was last week.
A million people at the same time.
I think the highest ever is like Dota 2 at 1.2 during some tournament.
Well, what is Overwatch like on a regular basis?
I don't know.
You know,
Destiny hit 1.2 on all platforms a few days ago, but like on the PC for something to be like it's not the highest yet.
Because there's millions of people that obviously own and play these games, mm-hmm. but at the same time...
It's not the highest yet. It's getting there. But what's astonishing is how fast it's going, right? It hit a million a couple days ago. It might be at 1.1 now.
Okay.
We're talking about hundreds of thousands of people simultaneous.
Yeah.
Every couple days. Got yeah. at it. Like, its rise has been meteoric.
At a brief little shitty glance on Google, looks like somewhere around 300,000 people play Overwatch, at least on PC.
That's nothing to sneeze at.
In North America.
Also, it's worth noting that PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds is only on PC and only on Steam. There's and only on Early Access.
Yeah. Yeah,
if this was on consoles, this would be the number one most played game period.
I mean, that is absolutely one way to fucking get those numbers up, is to have one place to play it.
Yeah.
You know, like at the end of the day. That's crazy. That shit is nuts.
And we didn't even know what the fuck this game was until Vinny told us.
Yeah, that's true. Right. We found out live on the podcast. We had our balls exposed. It was pretty good.
That game's going to get a big update soon. That's going to add a lot.
That game's going to get a big port soon.
Oh, yeah. No.
From some company.
Yeah, from Microsoft.
From who, you know?
No, it was announced at E3.
Yeah.
And we rolled our eyes because we didn't know what the fuck it was.
There you go. Yeah. Huge. Huge, huge, huge. That'll save Microsoft.
Microsoft, I don't know if you remember, but they grabbed DayZ, those rights, and they grab PUBG's as well. Because they look at these and they go, we want our platform to be the one that has the next Minecraft, basically.
Yeah.
And that's smart. So hurry the fuck up. I guess the game has to finish. It has to come out of early access before.
Well, Microsoft is you know, they're buying the franchises that are already successful as opposed to the ones that look promising.
Yeah.
And, you know, I feel that, like, sure, that's a business strategy that'll... It sounds people will show up for the thing they know they like, but I, you know, you kind of respect it when you.
I don't think they bought it. I think they just got the exclusive rights for their console first.
Well, yeah, okay, so first,
yes,
it's
always first now.
No one's doing Xbox only.
Never.
No one's doing.
Never.
You're right. That is over with.
That era is gone. For anything that's not like directly produced by Microsoft Studios or Sony's first party studios or Nintendo's first party studios, like, yeah, no, that shit's free
you're
to
only,
go.
You're only buying time.
It's free to go somewhere sometime. That being said, the PC will always be the place to play a game like this that gets the updates like this.
If you've got mail, it's free to go to our inbox sometime at superbestfriendcast@gmail.com.
That's superbestfriendcast@gmail.com.
I'm really thirsty, and I think you can hear my voice cracking.
A little bit.
I'm kind of parched.
Will this help?
What did you do?
I broke it. I broke my air horn.
Nothing. You didn't do anything. Nothing helped.
How'd I break my air horn?
Why would you set me up to help me and then let me go? I'm never going to trust fall with you, ever.
You shouldn't trust fall with me because I don't know if I can catch you.
That's true, too.
You're way bigger than me.
That's true, too.
Wait, hold on. Hey, I solved it.
An air horn is supposed to solve my thirst?
That's right.
Hmm.
Who's thirsty around an air horn? What's the email? Just what's the email?
Thirsty motherfuckers that trying to get in on the booty?
There it is. All right.
The Drake says, "Dear Scrublord Crusaders."
Hey, man, what up?
I was thinking back about the Ouya recently, but it doesn't say Ouya. It says Ula or Uta.
That's probably the
Ouya. Thinking about the Uta recently, and I realized I'd never not take an opportunity to hate and mock that shitty little console. Frankly, it deserved every bit of criticism and vitriol it got. So, I was wondering, if there was any console, accessory, or game you will always go out of your way to mock and demean. Thanks, the Drake. I mean, obviously the Dreamcast, it just had its birthday, so, you know.
The Dreamcast controller. Dreamcast is a great console.
Hey. You guys never took a moment to distinguish that you're talking only about the controller,
but that's
because
you were there
console.
And it pisses you off.
Sure.
Yeah. No, but the Dreamcast is a great system. This is a Dreamcast controller. I see one in the street. I'm going to go kill it. I love making fun of Melee. It's my favorite. I will shit on... What's a game that I'll fight for? After you, Wolves. Give me a second.
I will always... make fun of the 3DO.
I forgot.
Because it caused me physical pain. Mm-hmm. And...
Oh, the Virtual Boy by that metric as well.
I will always make fun of the Infinium Labs Phantom.
Mm-hmm.
Because its name is...
Aptly named.
Perfectly named console of all time. And of course, there's the Duke.
The Duke. Yeah. So you have bigger hands than I do. You don't like the Duke either?
No one likes the Duke.
No one likes the Duke. Okay. And Chrono Cross, of course. That pile of garbage.
One person liked the Duke. We got rid of them.
Yeah. Wait, who?
I'm actually trying to remember. I think back in QA there was someone that preferred to use the Duke for testing purposes, and it was like you are.
And they just disappeared, huh?
There, yeah.
They got disappeared.
Won't see him no more.
Nope, he's gone.
And he's gone. And
he's with his Dukes now.
Was this like he's gone, and there's nothing we could do about it? There. I'd say that. That sums it up. Eric in Georgia says, Dear Low Tier Godcast, all of your fighting game talk got me to finally, after not having cared about fighting games since Tekken 2, take the dive. Fired up the table saw, bought a couple fight sticks, pictures included, please notice me senpai, bought Street Fighter V, and I've been toying around with it, but the upcoming game I'm most excited for is Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Of course.
Seeing how I'm a noob, but noob as fuck... what games can I play to get ready for that style of fighter? Also, do you think there will be helpful onboarding like demonstrations or will I have to keep watching Wooly's boring ass videos? Keep up the good work, guys.
Well, first of all, you have to keep watching Wooly's boring ass videos.
It's the only way to learn the game,
Eric. You have to. Even if you get nothing and it physically damages you, you have to. He needs you.
Frame data.
I don't know what games he could play right now that would help with Super. You would know a better answer to that. But as for the onboarding, like, Arc System Works games are obsessive in their tutorialization. They're excellent across the board. Like, that game will teach you how to play it.
Hey, Jerkface, it's really simple. The guys that are making the game, go look up their name and see what else they have out on the market right now. It's Guilty Gear Xrd Rev 2, Revelator 2.
Yeah.
And it's a game that is going to play the most similarly to this alongside Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
Not exactly, but similar.
Similar. But the point is that, like, you know, the team striker mechanics and 3-on-3 stuff, Marvel vs. Capcom 3 will be, like, handy to that.
Mm-hmm.
But you're actually going to be maneuvering and moving and playing a lot like Guilty Gear.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, as you mentioned, Guilty Gear Xrd Rev 2 is actually one of the most comprehensive tutorial systems out there right now, because not only does it do the, you know, the combo thing to walk you through what you got to do with your character and through the basics, but it walks you through situations that occur commonly in games that you deal that you don't know how to deal with, that you weren't even aware were a moment that you should be thinking
about.
And
they go, hey, here's some things you could do.
Yeah. Like, for example, in these games, when you double tap forward, you run, right? You don't just dash. But running in Guilty Gear, when you stop running, you slide. When you're sliding, you can't do anything. And any buttons that the person presses are going to hit you. So you have to be aware of that, not run like crazy, and know how to stop on a dime by, like, pressing back and doing a faultless defense to stop your slide.
Mm-hmm.
You learn that in their tutorial, just basically explaining, you know, how to begin playing a little bit competitively, or at least not get bodied.
I would say that into the all-time tutorials, it's Virtua Fighter 4 Evo with the all-time greatest.
Yeah.
Followed by Arc System Works.
People, so here's the problem is that's locked into our nostalgia, but people are surpassing that, dude.
Okay, well.
Xrd is surpassing that, and Skullgirls is surpassing
that. I was about to say Skullgirls in all of Arc System Works' games.
They're moving beyond the Virtua Fighter 1. Yeah. That was incredible at the time because it was just unheard of. But now we have...
There's matchup data in that tutorial.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's incredible. No, in this... So what this game... What Xrd is doing is it has... Exactly. It has matchups. It has character-specific situations that it goes, this character wants to do this a lot of the time. This is how they do it, and this is what you should do to stop it. And it just straight up, like, here's a list of 50 things.
That's great.
At every character, it's just like, okay, I got it. I know what you're trying to do now, you know? So, yeah, man. There you go. But no, you do have to keep watching my boring-ass videos. I'm sorry.
It's only fair. He made them.
What can I say? We got
one. Say that you plan on making them less boring, but that's no fun.
It's also not true.
We got one. What is that noise?
The little hairbands that I have on my wrist. I'm rolling them on Zarya's pecs because I don't feel like tying my hair back right now.
Okay.
Hello, longtime viewer listener here. Mm-hmm. I just want to say a lot of things, a lot of things, a lot of things. Now with that stuff out of the way, I do actually have a question for you Bumble Kings.
Hey, what up?
Have you ever thought about bringing back the mailbag, not as a permanent thing or anything, just because of how much shit you were getting constantly in the mail, but I was wondering if you might consider just bringing it back every once in a while, like for a month or something, every once in a while as a special occasion?
No.
After all that, it was rather fun watching y'all get weird and awesome stuff from mail from fans. Anyways, keep on doing your stuff. I really appreciate it.
No.
We'll answer this as many times as we need to, but it was net cons.
Yeah.
As opposed to pros, unfortunately.
So, like, the main issue is that...
And that sucks because you'd think a lot of cool, fun stuff from people would be nothing but fun times.
Yeah.
But it actively took away from our ability to record videos.
Because you guys are too generous.
And
period.
We, like, at the end of the day, we're about making videos.
I mean, like, and there's also logistical problems with this. I've seen a lot of people say, what if you brought it back limited, right? If we bring back the mailbag in a limited fashion, right? Say, hey, between such and such a date, we'll be accepting this stuff.
Guess what happens?
Well, like we're going to wear out our backs because you guys are too generous.
It shuts the...
Also, we got to a weird point where people were sending in used sex toys and Beatles.
Yeah, well, there was that. We try not to talk about those. We try to stay on message. Generous.
Like,
but the truth is that, yeah, if we made that window, it would be the same density.
Just in a smaller window.
Compressed into a smaller window. Exactly. It doesn't solve it. It really, unfortunately, doesn't. And at the end of the day, if we're going to meet up together, sit down, and spend 8 hours hanging out... it'd be much more productive for us to do video games than to, unfortunately, have to spend that time opening
a lot
of awesome mail. Sorry, it sucks because it was fun.
Yeah,
but there is just not a technical ability to fix that problem.
Also, I don't know about you, but I still don't have room in my house.
No, I've now resorted to browsing cons, and like I just don't purchase things.
I bought all those ads from a recent con, like those paper ads.
Yeah,
I haven't put them up.
No. Like, especially with my new place, I'm just walking around looking at like shirt, like I might like t-shirts. Even it's like, okay, I have to throw a shirt out to buy a new shirt is my rule.
And there are some shirts I'd like to throw out.
Yeah.
So,
but like anything that's not that gets like the it's done, it's over with. Especially now with fucking Dante and Virgil and those 3D printed. Little pixel character 3D things. It's done. There is nothing else happening. If it comes in, it has to be a consumable or destroyable item. Food only, basically.
No puppies.
Well, I said consumable. Hey, we're playing T-ball over here, man.
You consume a puppy with love.
Yeah.
To hug them.
And barbecue sauce.
Ah, come on, man. Come on. You're going to bring it back. Gonna bring back the Wooly Eats Dogs meme.
It was just, I guess I was thinking because like recently when Irish Fear was abroad and he was talking on his like shows and stuff about how he like was like, oh, these stupid stereotypes, whatever. And then says the guy that had a show called The Amazing Racist, I know.
Yeah.
But then legit saw like, oh no, that's dog on the menu right
that's
there.
That's on a stick.
It's right. It's actually being served here in this country normally like a thing. Not stereotypically, but like literally.
Yeah.
And you're like, huh.
That cultural thing got turned into a stereotype where it didn't belong. But yeah, no, that's the thing.
How about that?
Yeah. And you love it, you say. With some barbecue sauce.
Oh.
You love the dog.
I like dogs.
You like tags?
I like bags.
Dag. I gotta watch Snatch again. That movie's amazing. Oh, man.
Super barf, 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 meal, dot barf. Thank you, Eric.
Thanks, Eric.
We got one that's just telling us about the furry fallout of poor...
poor councilman.
Councilman Chamberlain. So we addressed that already. We've got one coming in from Cameron.
Hey, Cameron.
Dear Super Best Feet Inflators.
Oh, no.
Who would die first? A stuntman doing 1,000 stunts in a row?
Or?
A wrestler doing 1,000 bumps in a row?
The distinction here is... very
meaningless.
Yeah, because what I mean is, it is the stunt like just jumping off of like a little like ledge, or is the stunt doing a flip, or is the stunt breaking through a glass window?
Yeah, I'm gonna go stuntman by default.
Yeah, because if it involves.
Unless the bump being described as the Hell in the Cell toss, or, you know.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. No. Like, I would say, like, if the stuntman has to have his head pointed towards the ground at any point, then he's going to die first.
See, I always got the impression that when stunt people die, it's always sudden and an accident, right? Because stunt work is inherently dangerous, and there's certain amounts of risk that you can't reduce, right? And a certain amount of them retire to be stunt coordinators or whatever, right? You know, stunt experts. Mm-hmm. And they're not young and they can't do it anymore, so they stop, right? The danger to wrestlers has always been and will always be time. Time kills wrestlers. It's not 1,000 bumps. It's 100,000 bumps. It's...
without the ability to heal.
Ever.
Yeah.
It's...
like, the main thing with Liam's wrists wasn't that they could not heal.
It's that in order to let them heal, he would have to not use his wrists for like 6 months.
At all.
At all. Which is like, how are you supposed to...
do anything.
Yeah.
Especially related to this business without using your fucking wrists.
It's tough.
I mean, a hitbox will help, but not permanently.
Not that much.
I have a friend that a top fucking rated Arxis player that like recently had to switch to a hitbox because his wrists were fucking exploding.
Yeah, it's something that like as much as I shit all over Melee, like there's some of their top players are like, this controller situation that we have and these fucking GameCube controllers and the things that you have to do in this game, like our wrists are dying. Like they were never meant to do this bullshit. And the hitbox stuff was originally like, not the hitbox, but Smashbox, was originally manufactured to get around wrist problems because high-level Smash just gives you wrist damage.
Fuck. I didn't even catch that part of it.
Yeah, that's why the Smashbox thing was such a kerfuffle, because it got banned because it had certain highly specific attributes that would be somewhat advantageous.
Mm-hmm.
But its creation was by one of a top player who's like, my wrists are destroyed. I need this to play.
I mean, the hitbox was created for multiple purposes because some people just like keyboard feel.
Yeah, and one of which was like super big cheating.
But then it of course turned out that, well, again, hitbox doesn't have...
well, the official one, but the ones that you can
dual input
bullshit your
on
way.
Both sides, yeah. But the whatchamacallit? Then it turned out that it's like, oh shit, people that have disabilities have a fucking really advantageous time using this type of controller.
Yeah,
you
it's
invented
great.
Something that's super useful for a lot of people.
Yeah,
you know. But yeah, that whole thing with Kid Icarus, man. Just, you know, like certain games that require like breakneck reaction speeds with your hands
in awkward positions and
will start doing damage. So yeah,
and that's a wrestler.
Fucking Sakurai himself has wrist problems.
Yeah, like I know it's funny to joke because it's hilarious, but I mean, like, he makes Kid Icarus
and then Smash Brothers,
and then Smash Brothers,
the two most notorious games
for wrist damage
melting.
And there's stories of him playing Smash with two controllers, one in each hand,
wow,
against himself to test shit.
Wow,
right? And it's like he develops like chronic, near crippling wrist damage
That's
problems.
Insane.
And it's like every game you make, Sakurai, except for Kirby stuff. Kirby stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the other two games you make, just like. I remember playing Kid Icarus. Man, my wrists hurt after like 10 minutes.
What difficulty?
Normal,
yeah.
Like,
juice it up to get the pot brewing, and then you will see what Liam was doing, and it's fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's a weird thing that like Nintendo warns you about. You should take a break with your eyes and things like that, but no one really talks about like the health bar on your wrist getting decreased to zero. Anyway, be aware.
If you're playing a video game and any part of your hands or even arm starts to hurt, fucking chill it for a second.
The saltiest of fighters. Dear, trying to get me to say a word, best friends. I've recently been watching a lot of videos, particularly salty YouTubers that play fighting games.
Oh, yeah.
And I get extremely salty and aggressive calling Johns anytime they can never accept a defeat.
That's right.
You guys are all big into fighting games and only gets to go to FTG meetups. And my question is, what's the most standout moment of Salty John's you've ever witnessed? I mean, how do you handle it when it's directed towards you? Whatever. You laugh it off. Who cares?
But, all right. I know.
What's the saltiest John's you've ever seen?
Saltiest John's I've ever seen? It was our old friend W, the little guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I've told the story before because it's my favorite. And we're playing KOF 11.
Mm-hmm.
And we're at his mom's house. Mm-hmm. And this was a long time ago. And, you know, down to the wire, got each character. I forget who he was playing, but I was playing as K-Dash. And I hit a full screen super with the glasses. Just absolutely all the way over his fireball. Hit him. And the super animation starts. And it's like, you have like one pixel. You're going to die as soon as the, you know, as soon as he hits the fist. That's yep. where the death.
Yeah,
and he just slashes out his foot and expertly kicks the reset button on King of Fighters 11 and goes, "Oh, I guess you didn't win that match." And I go, and it was calm. It was calm,
yeah.
but I was like, "Man, that's bullshit." He goes, "Nah, man, you just didn't win." And I just got up and I left. Like that's the worst.
The original, you didn't win.
Yeah, straight up. And well, I couldn't fucking believe it. Like it's so like.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
We've been playing matches for like an hour and a half.
That's pretty good. I'm going to say number two goes to Sanford Kelly.
Who was he playing against? Rico?
He was playing against Rico Suave at Battle Circuit. And
I saw that.
The stick smash, brah. And then the dent in the ground.
He dented the ground.
It cracked the tile, and they zoom in on the tile permanently damaged on the floor, and that stayed. That was a mark.
So the thing that makes that clip special for me is that it's Sanford loses. Everybody's calm. Sanford calm gets up, takes it, just the hardest throw straight at the floor.
Football spike.
Yeah. And then the camera stays on Rico, and Rico goes,
yeah,
like a
and gives
up,
a little thumbs
and
up,
and a little smile.
The fresh maker.
It's like,
yeah, that's the best.
That's good.
One.
That's good.
Yeah, you know, despite all the Gutex memes, the real stories with Rico Suave and Sanford Kelly. But number one with a bullet is Perfect Legend, aka Perfect 13 Gend, because you take the L and the E, and you turn it into a 1 and a 3.
Mm-hmm.
Because, oh my God.
So I didn't hear about this one. Set the stage.
Oh God. Okay. So Perfect Legend and Sonic Fox have a rivalry. They're fighting each other, right?
What game is this?
This is in MKX, okay. Right? And he says, yo, I can body you. Right. We talk shit. I can body you, whatever, no problem, right?
Yeah.
Fine. Fuck it. We're doing a first to 10.
First to 10. Let's do
right?
it.
Right? Sonic Fox sits down, plays, fucking annihilates Perfect Legend like 10-0. Beyond it is
annihilated.
It, just violation.
There is no discussion.
No in between.
Yeah.
The set ends. After, you know, all that build up, right?
Oh, I now remember this. Okay.
Almost like the Viscount low tier god type thing.
Yeah.
And then you have that moment where you're like, all right, let's make the meme for World Star Hip Hop. Let's make it.
Let's either shake hands or...
Perfect Legend takes the mic from Big E and he gets on and says, hey, look, all right, when I said that, I was talking about a specific character.
I was talking about a specific matchup.
And a specific matchup, which you didn't play.
So, you know.
So, you know, I mean, look, I never disrespected the other character. I disrespected, I was saying that it was this matchup, which we didn't play, so whatever.
Yeah.
And Big E takes it and he's like, you all want to run it back? All right? First to three? And Sonic Fox is like, fuck yeah.
Of course.
And he sits back down. And then he 3-0s him again. And like
with the new character.
With the character originally specified in the fucking, you know, in the shit talk. And fuck it. And Spooky is just on the mic going, oh no. Oh bro, someone save him. No, not like this. No, like you hear Spooky watching a murder take place and not know what to do about it, right? And he fucking just, and you hear like the commentary, it just falls apart.
Yeah.
It falls apart.
Because it's just guys just laughing. And
there's nothing else to say. And just Spooky and Arturo just fucking dying in their chairs. Mm-hmm. As Perfect Legend gets 13-0'd in a 1-10. It was the realest. It was a moment that like fucking that goes up there in the halls of time, and his name becomes Perfect 1-3 Edgend.
Oh man. Oh, that's a great story.
Yeah, that's the big one for me. That's the big one.
What'd he do afterwards?
I mean, he got up, and I think on the footage, there's a moment where it's like he's going to get the mic again, and they kind of just go, no. They just, like, I might be just remembering that incorrectly. Maybe, just, you know, but I seem to recall there was another moment where he was going for the mic, and they just kind of went, nah.
Yeah.
It's done. That was a wipeout. Some big ass wipeouts in this video game.
I'd say poor guy, but he did it to himself 100%.
He did it to himself. He did. And that's why it really hurts. Because he did it to himself. Oh, boy.
Man.
Yeah, that's a bad one. And then let's take one final one from Sean. He says,
hey, Sean.
Mes chers pères et merde. Mes chers pères de merde. Mm. Aimez-vous la média en français comme... les jeux ou films, est-ce qu'il est seulement utile pour la vie quotidienne en Québec? Je suis anglophone, bilingue. This is a weirdly written. This is clearly using Google Translate.
Yeah.
This isn't correct. Je suis anglophone, bilingue de Nouveau-Brunswick.
Well, that would explain it.
Exactly. perhaps... Acadien. Mais c'est pas souvent que je cherche pour la média dans ma deuxième langue.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it would be funny to get your attention. Sorry for the mistakes. I forgot how hard it is. So, yes.
C'est pas ta faute.
Oui. C'est bon. C'est correct. Aimez-vous la média en français?
Non.
Pourquoi?
Parce que la plupart des temps, la média en français, c'est des dubs.
C'est...
Quand j'étais comme 7 ou 8 années, oui. Ma soeur, mon frère, et on a allé voir Aladdin en français.
Ah, Aladdin en français, oui.
C'est pas bon.
Ah, mille nuits arabiques.
La seule chose que j'aime regarder en français, c'est les Simpsons.
OK, Simpsons, c'est bon. Oui.
Parce que Homer, en francophone,
oui. Et Marge.
Est le meilleur. Parce que il y a deux... Sais-tu ça? Il y a deux Homer français.
Oui.
Il y a la
Homer parisienne, puis la Homer Québec.
Pour Québec.
Oui.
Et l'Homer pour Québec, c'est mon père et mon...
Oui. Et pas de suche, de suche. Oui.
What do you call it? The Bell Pro voice?
Yeah. Puis mon... tu sais, mon voix de jeune Québécois,
mm-hmm.
ça vient de Lisa et de Marge. C'est comme... Non, maman, je veux pas manger ma frite! C'est comme... ça, c'est les Simpsons. Oui. Aussi, moi, je pense que j'ai jamais vu... quelque chose que j'ai... Un jeu français de Québec que j'aime. Mais...
le seul jeu du Québec que je peux penser, c'est Colette.
Mm.
C'est un jeu d'horreur. C'est dans comme la campagne, dans la neige.
Mm-hmm.
Je pense que... Non, nous n'avons pas joué ça pour Shitstorm.
La version française... Québécois-français de Coming to America avec Eddie Murphy, c'est la meilleure film du monde. C'est carrément gesti. Yo, fucking, c'est très bon. C'est fucking bon, man.
Really?
Oui. C'est comme, parce que c'est juste comme les Simpsons, c'est français, Québécois de souche de souche, et c'est pas comme Parisien, et c'est pas just translation or transliteration. They fucking got it right on point.
Apologies by the way to all of our French listeners who are like laughing at our out of practice French.
Wait, c'est bon.
I haven't spoken it like at length since like school because of you fucks. Also, all my relatives just started to speak English instead.
Because
Pat's the dumb little Anglo child.
Mm.
Yeah, I went to English school. What's it gonna take?
Déjà bu? C'est quoi? Cointreau?
Non, c'est quoi ça?
Cointreau, c'est comme un apéritif? Non?
Non. Okay. Désolé.
Cointreau, c'est comme... coin, comme... Cointreau.
Cointreau.
Cointreau. C'est quoi? C-O-I-N-G... Non, C-O-I-G-N-E. C'est comme la même comme... Tu sais le nom.
Non, I know.
C'est comme Gascoin. C'est comme Gascoin. Gascon. Oui, c'est ça.
Gascoin. Did you pull this email just to say Gascoin?
No. Merci, Sean. Malheureusement.
Désolé pour mon mauvais français.
Oui, moi aussi.
Ça fait longtemps que j'ai parlé plus que...
Mon vocabulaire, c'est
merde. Oh!
C'est chier.
J'ai
vraiment chier.
Arrêtez de me chialer avec ça, là.
Ouais.
See, I remember that, no problem. Chialer's not a word. My dad says it all the time. It's not real.
Je m'en calisse. What does that mean? I am in chalice now.
Yeah.
Like, you've put me in chalice.
All right, Joe Ben, let's go.
Prends tes affaires, puis let's go.
Yeah.
All right.
Allez-y.
Maintenant, on fait le watch.
I can't wait to get all the cheese.
Yeah. That's like, nah, bro, curds.
Yeah. Also, and it's the fun thing about being a Quebecer. Is because all the people particularly our American listeners who go to make fun of us with that shit, they all use the Parisian jokes. And it's like, no, we're right there with you. Parisians.
Fuck them. Go back to the chitsi.
Learn how to speak real French.
Fucking French countryside bunking motherfuckers.
Get out here, hear the real French out in Abitibi-Témiscamingue.
Témiscamingue, oui, Trois-Rivières.
My dad's from Trois-Rivières.
Yeah. Nice. Hey, man, la vraie poutine, ça commence à Drummondville.
Now that we've done a good portion of the podcast that most people don't understand, what's coming up, man? What do we got coming up on the channel?
Police Knots continues.
Continues. Dead Space continues. Getting Up? Did you guys fix that shit?
Yeah, we fixed it.
Fantastic.
It turns out, it turns out the solution was in something I knew existed all along.
Yeah, Matt told me about this.
The solution was within me all along, and I just forgot. When you big picture Steam, it lets you remap controllers for everything you add to Steam.
Yeah.
But that's only an option when you big picture.
Yeah, so I had a lot of trouble with that because if you turn the Steam overlay off, it disables that functionality. But that thing is amazing.
It is, and it's dumb that it only exists in that mode.
So when
let me right-click and do that.
When you go to Sonic Mania and you plug in a PlayStation 4 controller and you go to controller prompts, the number one result in community templates is Sonic Mania for PlayStation 4 controller by Christian Whitehead.
That's awesome.
It's so good.
That's pretty solid. Yeah, that's continuing. That's going on. You know, it is what it is.
What about Wooly Versus, man?
I'm going to continue getting into Tekken. We have another...
Oh, those boring.
There's another gameplay video where I sit down with Gutsy Geek Rami and walk through actual in-game scenarios that happen often. So if you're interested in like what the fuck 3D games are about and why that what like what the fuck is the sidestepping thing and like
it's bullshit. That's
how do I how do I not get blown the fuck up every time because I'm trying to play this like Street Fighter or any other 2D game? Like tune in because yeah, we address a lot of those things. I'm working still on a there's an Amsterdam video that's going to require a lot of editing. And then there's
is it you asking direct disgusting questions to prostitutes?
No.
Okay. Well, that's, I mean, that's, I'm not going to watch it now.
And then as far as stuff like Naruto and Kingdom Death goes, yeah, that will be a thing soon.
Are you giving up on Naruto?
No. But I definitely am realizing that I don't have the opportunity to record as often as I want to. Especially, you know, like fucking Matt's done Bible Black, and I'm like, ooh, oh man,
probably did that in one go,
in and out in one shot,
Just
and
like
I'm
Bible Black,
and I'm kind of like, oh boy, I kind of committed to really getting back into these things, so I'm gonna have a think, I'm gonna have a little think about it.
You gotta watch My Hero Academia, man.
Of course, that's on the list. It's the alongside shit. Everything else. There will be a special Kingdom Death coming out eventually soon. So yeah.
Oh man, my fly's been down the whole time.
Mm-hmm. But I definitely think that I'll just think out loud here that like it might be more beneficial for me to just kind of like have a sort of what the fuck ever sort of schedule as opposed to trying to commit to like set LPs and stuff because I don't want people to feel so annoyed by the downtime between
episodes.
I have had
the exact same
problem. I really
don't
want that feeling.
The exact same problem with my stream because I start a bunch of games and all the games that I play are long.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, let me walk you through. I started and played like, I did like 9-10 streams in a row of Pillars of Eternity, right? And now I played like 60-70% through that game on stream, but I don't really feel like streaming it right now. But I do want to play it in my off time, right? But then I start XCOM, and then I start this, and then I start this. Like, should I just do whatever the fuck? And that seems to actually be the answer. Just do whatever the fuck.
Doing whatever the fuck, yeah. And I realized...
And it's because I took the rule that we have here,
which
is fucking finish anything you start. And I kind of applied it everywhere. Mm-hmm. And that's not feasible.
No, and the thing is that there's fun stuff that I've had sitting in the pipeline. There's intros to things sitting in the pipeline that have not been used yet because, you know, I'm like, okay, well, I got to wait for this to be done and that to be done.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I think I need a little bit more of a freeform schedule because I can't predict when, you know, fucking suddenly, con month just happens.
Yeah, that month.
And you're like, oh, shit, I'm gone every weekend. And then,
but now I have all this footage of me beating up George at ping pong.
It's got to go somewhere, right? So you know, and then you kind of go like, "Oh fuck!" Well, if I had a regular schedule, people are like, "Oh, where's Naruto?" But it's like, "No, I got this other dumb shit."
Maybe if you were a good ping pong journalist, you could have won.
Maybe if I was good at reporting on ping pong. So yeah, I'm definitely gonna have a little thing about that because I do have some other like one-off video ideas and I have more fun I think thinking about some of those ideas.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely want it to be more of a free-form non-committal channel because it's supposed to be a stress-free place.
Yeah, man,
that's what it's about.
Yeah, man.
What's going on over at whatever you fucking Angriest Bat? What's going on at Angriest Bat?
Not much, dude. I'm probably gonna stream this weekend. What I'm gonna stream? I don't know. Probably more I restarted an XCOM stream. Maybe some Destiny or something else. I don't know. Just come on in. I'll do a stream.
Mm.
That's it. Matt's not here, but he's probably gonna stream something this week at Matt McMuscles. Matthew McMuscles?
Yep, he's gonna have stuff going on.
Probably.
Mm-hmm.
He does like one a week or one every 1.5 weeks. So he's probably got one.
Or you could not just fucking go to every single con, says Chatterbox. Well, I like to see people. I'm sorry that upsets
you. Yeah, he's one of them social people.
He's one of them. He's always got some shit going down. I don't like to acknowledge the chat much, but you get the acknowledgement there, Chatterbox. Good job. Continuously salty every week. Keep it up, man.
Oh, is he just a little bitch every week?
He's one of the bad ones.
Oh, yeah? That's good.
He's one of the bad ones.
That's good. We need that. Keep you honest.
But he gets like 8 emails in every week, too, though.
Yeah.
So it's like it's both. It's like the plus and the minus. It's a little bit, you know. Something's going on. It's cool. Hey, I think... No, I'm going to save it.
You're going to save it?
I'm going to save it. I was going to tease something.
Yeah, because you said that I could know something as long as I didn't talk about it on the podcast, like a secret. I could know a big secret.
I'm going to save it.
Okay, you're going to save it?
Yeah.
Okay, well then I don't have a chance to spill the beans, so you can tell me right after.
No, even from you.
Oh.
Okay. You want it saved, trust me. Okay, it's going to be good. Okay, okay. You don't have to wait long.
Okay. Okay, podcast is over.
Yes, podcast is over.
Yeah, right. See you next week at the podcast. Check out Super Best Friends Play on YouTube for all of our videos and stuff that we talked about.
Or don't.
No, do.
Okay. Then hit mute and click the Uno button. Subdued by all my memories, but never been a pacifist. So quick to put up the fists, it's hard to resist, but I just might lose control. So shoot, and I never do miss. I gotta take risk if I wanna have it all. So let go of the poison, the venom. I'm sinning. The voices are spinning with the visions already. Got the pictures of my prophecy, develop my philosophy. Woke up in the morning, told the world to get back off of me. Yeah, it's still the nightmares creeping up at night. I'm a fragment in the mirror, seeing black and white. Like, who is me and who is gonna take me over? My soul is my soul in the eyes of the beholder. Yeah. And now there's darkness in the chaos. Try to see the light, hope the positives will pay off. Ain't no time for stressing when the time is of this essence. Take these two fists and swing them back into your direction. Woo! Cause that's the way I got it. And don't it sound of doom, always sound so melodic. Look into the future, know the end is coming near. Even though I'm standing tall in the face of all this fear. Clear, vision serving life like a sentence. Gotta stay strong, that's the reason I'm so vicious. A barking dog, take it all, never fall. You ringing for the champion, I'm the one who get the call. So let me tell you a little something about this life. You can commit to the game and you can commit to fight. But the thing is that with every passing of the night, nobody actually makes it out of this world alive. So what you gotta do is put your powers to the test. Time is passing, so you better swing your time to best. So who you gonna be when a reaper come knocking? Actions speak louder than words, so stop talking. Yeah, so watch me break out of this cage. I fight now, I won't change. Yeah, and it's the passing of the